Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Lebanese comedian Nimmer. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and the debut of Cody Sings the Hits. And now, the Lebanese comedian is also his favorite sex position. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. I told you guys I ran into a guy just driving down the street blaring the show the other day, and then he pulled over and he just went, I tell everyone I know. And I said, thanks, buddy. That's why we're able to do this. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
I'm allergic to black people. Have them removed.
That was totally out of context. So speaking of this, as we, God, coming on eight, going around 8.5 years and coming into 9 years.
Nine years
of doing this. And again, the only way that's possible is you guys take
weirdos on the street blaring out of their window.
Blaring it out of their window.
Freaking people out.
It's happened to me. Happened to me walking the dog, walking Phil the other day. Also happened to me once a few years ago when I was driving home from Sonny's T-ball game and pulled up next to somebody at a stoplight and I had my window down and they had their window down and I heard, and it's going to sound exactly the way I'm going to say it because it was me say it, I should know, I'm Debbie Newton. And I was like, who's saying that? Like, who else would make a Debbie Dootson? The Dootson
in this day and age. Who? What moron?
Dootson School of Trucking. And it was confusing to me because if it was me going, the nailing schedule on Shearwall is, I'd go, that's me. Yeah. But all I heard was, I should know, I'm Debbie Dootson. And I was like, what is going on in this car? But something so familiar about that. And it was me talking about
it. Awesome.
I believe me, all they used to do, I'm going to label this insightful, and maybe it's self-serving and insightful, but it's an interesting trend. I've always said, just kind of study the trends, and study the commercials. You know where we're at. Yep. It's all about love and all about good vibes and all about everything. And back then it was all about galvanized steel and I-beam suspension and tough, rugged, best warranty, best drivetrain warranty. Now it's all, this is good vibes.
Yeah.
And, I'm dating this new chick and her dog doesn't like me. But once I put my parka around her by the campfire, then the dog will suck me off. All right. Here's what I want to say. The commercials that I used to watch, I hated school. I was a horrible student. School was uncomfortable for me on like five different levels. But first things first, I was the most tactile kid on the planet. All I wanted to do is be up on my feet, wrestling with another kid, or playing ditch or playing pickup football games and or jumping my bike and or fixing something on my bike.
A little woodworking or metal shop.
I had to be like on my feet holding something. Right. I'm sort of the same way today. Like with the race cars, people, oh, you love driving these cars. I love the cars. The driving them is what I do because I should. I feel like I own them. I should drive. But I love the cars. Yeah. I love working wrenching on the cars. Them. I love being around the cars. That's kind of my thing. And so sitting in class was insanely, brutally painful when I was 12 years old because, first off, there was Mrs. Parker and her support hose, age 61, going, all right, class, we're going to sing Grand Old Flag again. Now everyone turn to page 7. It's just like, like it was a form
Adam,
of.
Please don't make that sound.
It was a
Mr. Corolla. Not part of the song.
It was like a form of punishment, And you just sit there and the technology was Little House on the Prairie, whatever. Abe Lincoln School was, or George Washington School. It's the exact same technology. The big breakthrough is we've attached the desk to the chair, whereas George Washington had a separate chair.
Right.
That's about it. In terms of the technology, it's just a book, the most boring woman on the planet.
A slate board.
And a woman didn't seem to really care for kids very much or whatever their unique gifts or skills were, but just sort of like, here's what I'm going to write on the chalkboard. Everything was something to do with some schedule or something.
Here's the assignment for today.
Yeah.
But it's the same as the assignment from 365 days ago with the last class and the one before that.
Yes. And you just sat there and all I wanted to be doing is here's how I was. And I frequently did this. If I had a friend who had a swimming pool and there was a gate that sort of opened to the street, and when we figured out we could build a big launching ramp so that we could jump our bikes into a swimming pool, it was the greatest thing ever. All I wanted to do is find an apartment building, get on the roof, and jump off it into a swimming pool. Like, all I wanted to do was wrestle somebody or ride a wheelie on a mini bike. That's all I want to do. And I guess, there's a lot of people who they grow up and they go, oh man, when I was a kid, I loved reading. I loved to read. Oh, my parents would
Brian.
Have to like,
good thing there's no one around here like that.
Parents would have to come in and like flick the lights on and off in my room just so I'd go to bed because I wouldn't stop reading.
When I was punished, like, go to your room. I was like, oh, thank Christ where the books are.
Right.
And the baseball cards.
Now,
mostly the
best. I don't believe anyone would like sitting in Miss Parker's class at Colfax Elementary with no air conditioning and a desk and nothing in front of them, just sort of sitting there. But if you liked reading, it would be more tolerable.
Yes.
Right.
And if you liked wrestling and throwing people into swimming pools and wrenching on bicycles, it was literally impossible. Like, and I would just sort of sit there. Now, you have to factor in, I could not read or spell or write. So now I'm just sort of sitting there. And when they're going, turn to page 37 and everyone's turned to page 37. And, especially if they said like, now read page 37 and you guys tell me what you think or tell me if you get the joke or whatever it is, you get halfway of 5 Mississippi go by and then you hear the class start giggling
tittering.
Or something. I'd have to titter as well because it seemed like I didn't know what.
So droll.
So
cad.
I would just sit there and I was miserable. So I would miss as many days as I could possibly miss because I hated it so much and I was so bad at it that it was like sort of punishment and failure, mixed together.
God.
And go sit in Miss Parker's class. So I would sit home and then I would get punished some more because we didn't have cable and we had a black and white TV and all there was to do was watch bad daytime TV that was never meant for kids. Mm-mm. There was no kids programming. It was just really bad, bad stuff. And every single commercial was drive a truck, learn to work in a doctor's world. It was an attractive gal explaining that you too can learn to work in a doctor's world. You can
be a doctor.
You can be like a nurse or an assistant or whatever. Hey, everybody. Hot
step up on the stirrups there. Let me get my speculum. So, learn to work in a doctor's world, drive a truck, multiple drive a truck commercials. Mm-hmm. The Dootson, Wally Thor School of Trucking, lots of schools
competing
of trucking.
Schools of trucking.
Yeah, the Pepsi and the Coke.
Yeah, and it's like Wally Thor would show up and he'd go, it's great. He'd go, like, in 1964, $10 bought this many groceries. And he had a whole bag of groceries. Now, 1977, it buys this many. It's like half a bag of groceries. And you're like, you got to get to trucking. And you tell everyone to get to trucking.
Ipso facto.
Yeah.
You get yourself out there and start trucking.
Yeah. Or go on a diet. Like, you can have your Class A trucker's license in 2 weeks or whatever. And then, of course, it was Debbie Dootson going, I should know, I'm Debbie Dootson. And I just sat around, I always watch these commercials, and I would seriously contemplate, like, you know, obviously I'm a horrible student, but I think I could get to trucking. I can't drive, but I think I shall be able to drive, even though I failed driver's ed. I had a date with failing driver's ed about 5 years in the future. It was on the horizon. I could just see, I could just smell the hint of failure. Yeah. But I would fail Mr. Gregory's driver's ed in about 4.5 years. But I was sitting there, and every single commercial was geared toward people who are out of work, who are sitting at home. And there was, you know, small electronics, toaster repair, you know, open your own, you know, get certified to fix toasters and radios and, you know,
just certified, you say.
It was all just get your license in something, do it in like 2 or 3 weeks, and then go to work. Yeah. Every commercial now is for an attorney in a class action lawsuit.
Sounds like the understanding back then was, hey, you're at home, you're watching this during the day, you clearly are not happy or ashamed with what you're doing right now, so let's go. Here we go.
Be a productive member of society.
That was the
conceit was, if you're home, you sure aren't happy about being home, and you don't want to be sitting on your butt while the sun is shining, and I bet you'd like a job in learning to work in a doctor's world. You got to find that one, Gary. And there was learning to work in the doctor's world. There's driving a truck. There was even like Bryman, there was School of Modeling.
Ooh.
You could be a model.
Yeah, Barbizon.
Barbizon. You could either, I like they gave you two options. You could either be a model or just look like one. So I was like, oh, that's a pretty good option right there. It's got to be worth $118 just to look like a model. For all the, you know, 50-year-old housewives that are sitting around right now watching this.
That's all it takes.
I was like, I'm going to double down. I'm going to look like a model while driving an 18-wheeler.
Think about the advantages you have in life.
Oh, man. I saw BJ and the Bear. Yeah. I know when you're a hot chick and you can drive an 18-wheeler, you are sought after. Yeah. BJ and the Bear was a truck driver who traveled with a chimpanzee. Back when...
Inspired by real events.
You needed a chimp in your truck. Like, back when you did things, you needed to have a chimpanzee. Chimpanzees were all the rage from like 1972 to like 1978. Like, there were shows. Yeah, there was just a chimp, like sidekicks. And you put them, it was the easiest sell in the world. Just put them in a stupid outfit and have them walk out with you. Oh. And then at some point, like, you'd say, like, they could always get the chimp to do that head shake thing, BJ, or the Bear, whatever the thing was, like, should I ask her out on a date? You think she'd go out on a date? And then just cut to the thing going like, and it was like big laughs.
That's right.
Big laughs.
Do we know which one was BJ and which one was the Bear?
BJ, I guess, was the truck driver. Also,
because maybe that was his trucker name.
Driving a truck was a very romantic job. Now it's just for loser meth heads and the morbidly obese. Sorry about your uncle. But what I'm saying is driving a truck was romantic.
Mm-hmm. The open road.
You were like the last of the cowboys.
We were. It was, I don't know if it was Burt Reynolds. I don't know. There was a CB movies or movie, mm-hmm. one with Jan Michael Vincent called White Line Fever. Like, mm-hmm. there was all these movies about guys who drove the movie called Convoy. Like, they'd make a movie about a song.
Duel.
It's funny. Take This Job and Shove It and Convoy were two movies that were made out of 2.5 minute country trucking songs. Like, literally, you take a song and then you make a...
I didn't know either of those were movies.
Have you not seen Duel?
No.
Oh, Duel's delight.
I know what the hell you're talking
Duel
about.
Duel is Steven Spielberg's first film.
Yep. Really?
It was a TV movie starring Dennis Weaver. He's a man driving a little car, and he's being terrorized by a trucker, faceless trucker.
I love everything.
It's excellent.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, it's great.
I would track it down. It's excellent.
You're in, and there's like no dialogue, and yeah. you realize you're seeing a great filmmaker.
Absolutely.
Because somehow it holds your interest the whole time.
You can see the genesis of like Jaws and all the Spielberg.
Wow.
Because it's so, like I said, with very, very little dialogue, it's just a guy on the road trying to get away from a trucker.
It's a strange ad campaign with the top saying, the most bizarre murder weapon ever used.
Yeah, the word bizarre is a bizarre use of the word bizarre, but you're in.
They had to get it across.
So. Nice.
All right. So I want to know about learning to work in a doctor's world, Gary. So. Porn is this. Yes, the conceit was if you're home, if it's Wednesday, if it's 1:30 in the afternoon, you wish you were at work. And now every commercial is about some prescription drug and a class action lawsuit.
Some mesh, something
your
that broke.
Your pubic mesh.
Your pubic mesh broke, something. And it's basically just sue somebody or are you on this drug? Or do you want to do both?
Join a lawsuit.
There are no go drive a truck anymore.
Mm-mm.
Not a good sign for the society we're living in.
That's a good point. Do you want somebody else's money? Call us.
It's even gotten one step further where they're saying that we will even come to you. You don't even have to get off your couch and come and talk to us.
Because you can't.
And,
we'll come to you.
Right. And a lot of attorneys with the wrongfully terminated or did you slip at work? Mm-hmm. Like it's all... So everyone, when I grew up, who wasn't at work, wanted to work. Everyone who's not working now doesn't want to work, at least according to the TV.
Right. According to noon to four.
But it's their job to be right, meaning I'm not going to see 2,000 Debbie Dootson and Wally Thor commercials if their phone never rings.
Right.
You know what I mean? If they're just putting out commercials for Get to Truckin', School of Truckin', and everything else, and their phone never rings, they're not going to go for a new cycle of advertising.
Yeah, someone's getting truckin'.
Somebody had to get to truckin', and she should know she's Debbie Dootson. All right. Let's see. Gina Grad. Anyway, thank you. Thank you, because Gina Grad, the station you're on. Well, we'll drop a little news, I think, in a second. First, I'll tell you about Blinds Galore. Oh, they do one thing, and they do one thing better than anybody else: custom window treatments built to your exact measurements, down to every detail, just the most exacting detail. We use them all. I have them at my house. I have them in my office. I have. At the edit bays, we have them here, just everywhere. And real good with the heat, but real good with the, when you pull that chain and it'll go black in that room. And we watch movies in the edit bay. We can do it, or you can just dial in. It's hard with like curtains to dial in. You either have to sort of open them or close them. Dial it in. Anyway, you work hard enough. Blinds Galore makes it easy for you. You to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. And also, just get it, put them up, super easy to put up, and forget about it. It's not like they wear out or anything. Just use them for the rest of your life. Go to blindsgalore.com. Let them know I sent you. Great sponsors. And they'll send you out some free samples, too. 15 free samples, all different colors. blindsgalore.com. Yeah, so Gina Grad, the station you're on.
Yeah, the 100.3 The Sound, great classic rock station.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Switching formats.
Yes.
Now, what format are they going to?
I believe, well, it all has to do with Entercom, who we worked for, merging with CBS. And mm-hmm. so you have to sort of spin off a couple of stations if you have too many. So we were one of the ones that was spun off. And I believe it's being acquired by EMF, which I think is a Christian programming station.
So what's that mean for you?
That means I will be hooking out in front of the warehouse in the evenings, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, man.
Great.
As long as I get to wet my beak. And when I say beak.
Oh, I know. Understood.
So you'll be... Jesus is just all right, man. So you could combine classic rock and...
I like the way you think. Trust me. This is a great idea. That is just is out of our control. Great station. Was proud and honored to work for them. I'll be there for another 30 to 45 days, and then we'll see what happens from there. But I hope I still obviously get to be here. Love it. Love talking. Love being a part of it. And I'll do it as long as you'll have me and they'll
have
me.
Well, we're not going to switch formats over here anytime soon. And again, it's a... well, if God was one of us, it's a... I wish you were around when I was with my born-again gangbangers installing closets. We used to have to listen to Christian rock the entire time.
Jars of Clay, Creed.
Oh, this is predates all that. Oh. This is back when you couldn't... You know, it's weird. I was telling you guys that they simulated wood works now, like cultured marble works now. Like, you can have countertops that aren't marble, but they look like marble. Yeah. That kind of works. Back in the day, didn't. Same with rock. Ooh. You could do Christian rock now can sound like rock.
Yeah.
Back when I was when I was forced to listen to Christian rock, it did not resemble anything that you think of as rock and roll.
Was it Striper?
There was a Striper.
There was a Christian rock station. We had to listen to it because it was three born-again gangbangers and then me installing closets. So it was always 3-1. But as I famously told him once, I was like, could we just switch it over to like KLOS or something?
The
just
devil's
like,
music.
We just
KLOS Diablos.
It's not going to be so bad. Come on, let's see what happens. And it was Bob Seger's Main Street, which is like one of the nicest, most melodic. It wasn't, you know, Alice Cooper screaming with a snake around him. It was down on Main Street. It's like Gordon Lightfoot-esque. And we were just listening to it, and I said, it's not so bad, is it? You see, we could just leave it here on KLOS. We'd just leave it because it's not all devil music and songs about sex and Satan. This is a beautiful, melodic, beautiful song here about a guy, you know, about his love of his hometown. And they're like, that song's about a whore. I'm like, huh?
He's come again?
He's going down to Main Street shopping for a whore. He's looking. I'm like, no, it's not. He loves his town. Yeah. He loves his town. He's just going down to the main. Yeah, there he is. Oh, jeez, it's a midnight.
Night walk.
Trying to get my courage up.
Uh-oh.
Can't sleep.
I remember they had to sit there and explain to me, and I was like, yo.
It's a real yeah, but still moment. Dancing a little club
downtown. Okay. She like to dance.
She frequents nightclubs. Love to watch her do
her stuff. She does card tricks. Yeah. Up close magic.
Exchange faster than any other server. Through the long, lonely nights,
she filled my sleep. I was like, swaying to that smoky beat. Down on Main Street. They were like, he is going down to shop for whores down on Main Street. And I was like, God damn it. He's not going after. I don't know. She's an exotic dancer.
She's a stripper, right?
A stripper.
Unless like the red light district where they dance.
Either way, we crossed into Beelzebub's lane, and we had to switch it back to Christian rock.
According to Bob himself, I believe there was a kind of a Chicago blues style club in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they did have a woman dancing in the window.
In the window?
To get people in, but she wasn't a stripper. She
was a dancer. Well, where were you in 1989 when I needed you to explain just how wholesome this whole activity
Hold
was?
Hold on, 14-year-old Dawson has a thought.
I think they frowned on blues clubs as well, though. Dancing in the window, that's a non-starter for these born-agains.
Well, if you ever hook up with them again for a reunion, I think Seeger's playing at the Forum in November.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can all go together.
10-year-old buddies.
Yeah.
Your old colleagues.
There was Frank. I don't think Frank spoke. One of them didn't speak. One of them... I think his name Philip was nice. His wife used to cook him cactus.
Oh yeah,
used to give me his cactus. And then there was Pogi, but Pogi wasn't a Mexican gangbanger born again. He was a Filipino born again,
And, important distinction.
Pogi means handsome in Filipino. That's those are all my recollections.
I had a Filipino friend in fourth grade, and her dog was named Pogi. So that's what that meant?
Handsome.
Look at you.
He was a cute guy.
I was just playing the song earlier, the Joan Osborne song. I was thinking, I know we should do this off the air, but we don't talk off the air. What if we did? Here's a new bit idea. It's you know, we all like to crow about the things we got right, we predicted right, sure, or whatever. We do a bit called Bad Call. Predictions we made that were 100% wrong. Because it's always funnier when you're wrong. I remember when Joan Osborne came out around the same time, I was in high school, around the same time that Sheryl Crow. And when Sheryl Crow came out, she had, All I Want to Do is Have Some Fun. Right. And I was like, this one-hit wonder, she'll be gone before you even remember her name. Joan Osborne, she's making important music. You'll hear from her for decades.
I'd like to volunteer Jimmy Kimmel.
Bad call.
Everyone made the wrong call with him. Not with me. I mean, like, I'm literally program director's going, he's a behind-the-scenes guy. He's not in front of the mic. He's not an on-camera mic guy. He's right. A producer. He's a better producer. Off-the-mic guy. So that was their bad call. Jimmy's bad call is we're at K-Rock when the presidents of the United States of America had the song Lump or Peaches or whatever. And I just remember going, this is a novelty group. This is a one-hit wonder. And Jimmy was like, oh, contraire. This band has legs.
Yep.
They did the exact opposite of what you did with Sheryl Crow. He said, this band's going to have a lot of hits. They're going to keep going. And I was like, but they're not. It's like a not. It's long.
Oh, no. You'll be here for long.
I was like, this is bad novelty stuff. And he's like, no.
Start dusting off the shelf in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
I like how Mr. No Self-Confidence came up with an example that Jimmy was wrong about and Adam was right about.
Thank you.
I was wrong about Maroon 5. In about the year 2000, they wanted to play our 4th of July show at the station I work for in Santa Barbara. And I said, absolutely not. This band sucks.
They will never go Levine anywhere.
We'll never hear anything from them again.
I was wrong about Dane Cook and then right about Dane Cook later on.
Oh, wow.
I was wrong and right.
We should do this next week. Bad calls.
This is too funny.
Tweet us your bad calls.
Write it down. All right. And speaking of...
I got more.
Oh no! I'm sure we do, and I don't know why the music. For some reason, you talked about when that song came out was right a little bit before, but right
same
about
era.
The time Lump was coming out. All right, let's see. Now we got this. Speaking of music and calls and everything else, Cody LaScala has cerebral palsy, and he called in. Well, we'll play the clip from me and Dr. Drew's show.
Yeah, it's back in May. It was episode 583 584 if memory serves. But
well, which one was it?
All right,
it was 584. Here you go. This has some setup and gives you an idea of what we're gonna do.
So, Cody, pick a Beatles song or a Rolling Stones song or a song that very popular, Elvis, that everyone would know.
Sorry, I'm going to pause real fast, and we should probably announce in advance that Cody suffers from cerebral palsy.
Yes, but go ahead. And when you have the name of the song, tell us when you have it, and then sing it, and then let's see if we can get it. You ready? Go ahead. Start Me Up.
Oh, yeah.
Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's the worst Rolling Stones song ever. All right. So Cody's on the line now.
All right.
And we shall play the game. All right. Oh, we have an intro.
We have an intro song and everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
Now it's time for the new music game show that is sweeping across the nation. Let's play Cody Sings the Hits.
I'll pot Cody up in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about the True Car. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online, and then they find out they're not available. Our own Chris Maxipat, I'm looking at right now. I love that Dr. Drew thought that was your real name. He used True Car, got himself a Prius with just 200 miles on it. Runs like a top. True Car, real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Their users, True Car users, save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to get a car, you don't want all the hassle and the haggle and everything else. Just go to TrueCar, visit TrueCar, see what other people are paying. Enjoy a more confident buying experience. Some features not available in all states, but I bet you don't live in one of those states. You hit TrueCar. Cody, was Cody up? Oh, why is he off a line, too? Hey, Cody.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Cody.
How are you?
Yeah. Where are you calling from?
How about just yes or no questions?
Santa Monica. Oh, that's right.
Local boy.
That's right. It's a local boy. All right.
Bark one for yes.
Brian, please.
I assume Cody has a sense of humor about all
this. He does. Okay. He has an amazing sense of humor and a better voice. All right. So I think you guys just come in with your name when you think you know the song.
So Cody's going to sing a song that we'll all probably know.
A popular
song. It's got to be a popular song. And Cody and Gary's work with Cody.
We've
got popular songs. Okay, go ahead, Cody. First song.
Long intro. Brian, you give love a bad name?
No. Dawson says
Adam, someone has a list.
Love me tender? No. Okay. Keep going. Wait, start from the beginning again, Cody. Why this is making me laugh?
All right, no one got that.
No, there's more. Oh, Rocket Man.
Oh, wow. I thought it was that Bosom Buddies Billy Joel song.
All right. This is a tough song, Gary, for the next time we don't play this. This is not a good... You need a... Yeah.
All right, good start.
Okay. Not a good start, Gary. That's not a good song to convey.
Cody, A for effort, buddy. That was excellent.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Your version was fantastic.
Yeah.
This one's on Gary, or whoever picked that song. You had to pick something a little more definitive. Go ahead, next song. Ain't no mountain high enough. Yeah, so that's...
That was really good.
Gary, did you pick a Rocket Man to get started with? All right, you? No? Yes? Dawson? Chris? Who picked that to start?
It was Dylan, but I didn't know that was there.
Well, wake up, would you, please?
Cody's
30. Produce, Gary.
Cody's 30 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Cody, do you live alone? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice.
All right. We all kind of got that one, but I'm taking credit.
Yeah.
All right.
Your name is your buzzer.
Brian.
Adam. Okay, go ahead.
Oops, I did it again.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Brittany.
I never heard this song before in my life, but I finally knew what it was.
Rocket Man. Christ. Okay.
It was worth it to hear Cody sing extensively.
That's true. Adam, let it be.
Damn it.
Gary, this is too easy.
Cody agrees.
Alright, Cody. Next song.
Gina! Gina, is it Ring of Fire?
No.
Okay. Sorry.
No.
Keep going, buddy.
Oh, Adam, that's it's a, it's on fire. It's Bruce Springsteen. I'm on
Ooh,
fire.
Oh no, no, Gina for the steal.
Second guess.
Is it Sweet? Is it Fox on the Run? Oh, great.
All right, now I'll hear you. Keep going, Cody. You're killing it.
I got Adam. I had the time of my life. I had no. the time of my life.
I'd like to hear it. Like
all right.
Keep going.
Start from the top.
Keep
go
going,
ahead.
Cody.
Sorry, Cody. Oh, I want rock and roll all night, party every day. Kiss, sorry.
This is a new high point in podcasting. iTunes, take notes.
All right, one more, Cody.
Cody needs his own spinoff podcast.
Wait, Cody, are you doing the song?
He's agreeing with me.
Or, yeah, you're ordering from Kookaroo.
All right, buddy. Here's
here we go. Here we go.
With the
last
song. Adam, Billy Jean. Yes. That was really good, Cody.
Yeah.
Spot on.
He says, is it just me or does Michael Jackson say chair instead of kid?
Let's hear it.
Listen to Billy Jean. Here we go.
He starts it with CH and ends it with a D.
Yeah, the chid.
No, the chid. Chids.
I don't know why he says chid. Why does he say kid?
Did Cody call us up and propose this bit to us?
It
was organic in A&D, as you just...
No, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't know if he followed up and be like, hey, let's keep this going. Either way, I'll never think of another bit as good as this. So
it's the one thing I excel at in life. Hey, Cody. Yeah, buddy. Do you listen and enjoy the podcast?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Brian, yes.
Yes. Hey, Cody, I'd like to play this more often because it's funny.
Every day of my life.
Every day.
Here's my home number.
Thank you,
He's the best. Cody.
Until next time, Cody sings the hits.
We'll never do better than that.
During Sweeps Week, can we have Cody against Ozzy?
Oh, yeah.
Jeff, that guy's so pissed right now.
Bobby, 35, Costa Mesa, Bobby. Oh,
you can't
man.
Can't follow that. Smart move, Bobby.
Can't follow it. Oh, I think Gina isn't being treated fairly.
By
thinks
who?
She's a doll Ooh. And wants to tell her that he's going to take care of her.
GinaGrad@yahoo.com.
Bobby? No, he's gone. Sorry, Bobby.
I'm curious where he thinks I'm not being treated fairly, but if he'd like to take care of it, it's all his.
Dana, 26, Ohio.
Me, Dana?
That's you, Dana. What's going on?
Yes. Thanks for hanging up, Bobby.
Yeah, man.
On.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of you and Dr. Drew's show. I listen every single day. You guys have helped me in so many areas of my life, so I have to thank you for that.
Is she a great big fat person?
Thank you, Dana. Slim Dana.
Yeah. Well, I guess the purpose of my call is, well, I know you're kind of atheist, and I have to thank Dr. Drew for mentioning the other day on your guys' show about when your wives were on a podcast together, and I never knew that his wife, Susan, was into mediums. I had no idea.
She's into all
he's a doctor.
She's into anything that's crazy. That's her motto.
Well, here's the thing. Here's
if it's crazy,
thing.
Count me in.
You want to know a fun fact, Dana? I co-hosted that podcast with her for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea, and when I heard him say that the other day, I was like, okay, now I'm kind of interested. And
wow.
I tuned in, and I'm so glad I did. And I lost my brother super unexpected. He was 29. I lost him in mid-July, so just about 2 months ago.
Sorry.
And what happened?
So I was always kind of a skeptic. I'm just really interested now, and it's just, I was so happy to hear that podcast. I feel like I was just meant to hear it.
What happened to your poor brother?
He died of a drug overdose, unexpected.
Oh, God.
Think it's always, you say unexpected. I hate to be more was he a drug addict?
It was accidental. My family, it was just like completely shocked. Like it came out of nowhere. And he was with a dude. He didn't call 911 and he just kind of, the dude's a piece of shit.
I had a guy, I never told you guys this, but like when I was 19, there was a family sort of the friends that aren't really friends, but there's like the brother and the sister and they're the whatever family and you kind of know them and they live a little out of range, but they are friends with, they're always like friends, better friends with one of your friends, but you're not that good of friends with them, but you know who they are and you're friendly and whatever.
Right.
They were doing drugs and another guy we knew died. And the guy hid him in the closet.
Oh
like
my God.
They didn't know what to do with him. They
it's 20,000 times worse when it could have been done. Something could have been done.
Oh yeah, 20,000 times.
The thing, it pisses me off because when he basically dropped my brother off to the hospital and then came pounding on my door and was like, "I think your brother overdosed," and then drove me to the hospital with him in the hospital, telling me, "Oh, you're lucky he even brought him here. They just, half the time, these don't even bring them to the hospital. They just leave them, and almost like, you're lucky you brought them. It's like, wow.
All right, Dana, so now you're going to have to live two full lives. All right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But
listen, it's one of the many things that drive me insane. Like, there's a big problem with drugs in this country. There's a big problem with people dying with drugs. There's people, pharmaceuticals and mixing and matching. You know, Dr. Drew goes nuts every time you bring it up. All the celebrities and rock stars and everyone else. And all we talk about is NFL guys taking a knee or whatever du jour problem, non-problem du jour is. We get totally sucked up into it. And that's it. Just Dan.
Although,
it's so weird.
There is a small silver lining to this. I heard on the way in today, first of all, Melania Trump is taking opioid addiction as her cause right now. And they're trying to get Donald Trump to declare opioid addiction a national emergency so more funds can be loosened up and, for whatever addiction whatever awareness takes, or whatever it is.
Sounds like a dog whistle to the Klan members to me, Gina.
I was fooled again.
As a Klan member, I can tell you when the First Lady talking about opioid addiction, it is a dog whistle to the Klan member. I do like the dog whistle theory that we have now, because now anything anyone says, you can just go, well, he didn't say it. It's a secret. He secretly said it these evil people. Yeah, now it's pretty much like, well, now I don't know anyone can give a speech anymore if things you don't say are secret messages to secret societies that are evil. But good. Yes, opioid addiction. Good. There's a good thing to focus on. Ricky, 29, Florida.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going on, man?
Hey.
Doing good and bald. If you need somebody to talk to off of the show, I'm here for you.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
Right.
What's going on, Ricky?
So I'm from Jacksonville, which is pretty close to Amelia Island, by the way.
I know. I just got a car from Jacksonville.
That's why I brought it up. Awesome. It is a great little part of the town.
Amelia Island is beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a Gator fan, a Jaguars fan, and it's been pretty rough over the years.
How does one get Jaguar out of Jaguar? Where is the I?
Everybody would pronounce Jaguar when I was a kid.
Really?
When I was a kid.
What a dark time it was.
I know. We had Debbie Dootson and Jaguars.
I'll take Jaguar or Jaguar if you want to go with the pretentious.
You're a little too close to it, though. There's a word,
and there's one way to pronounce it.
Oh, my God.
Everybody called the car a Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Like two words, like Jag and Wire.
It's a good thing we've grown.
Yes, we've grown a lot. Speaking of Amelia Island, you be prepared to be even more outraged.
Here we go.
You know how I was angry at Hawaii and Kauai because I don't like streets that are like, oh, you're on Elm Avenue or Elm Highway or Elm Way or, you know, it's too confusing and that's why we have names. And now there must be thousands of people gone over the years to the wrong island.
You swore early on never to go either one.
I found out off of Spain, there's a Menorca,
okay,
and a Mallorca. I'm outraged. How many people thought they're going to Mallorca? And it was Mallorca,
yeah,
right?
Mallorca.
I said Mallorca. Yeah, there's a Mallorca and a Mallorca.
There's a Molokai and a Molokini.
Don't like it. Angry at it. Yes. Sorry, Amelia Island guy.
Sorry, Ricky.
What about your Jaguars?
Tell us about your Jaguars.
Yes, so...
what goes on in Mallorca that we can't find on Mallorca, Gary?
What's our main export?
What do we need a Mallorca and a Mallorca for? And how many people, how many sailors have gone to the wrong island?
I think it's Menorca.
Menorca and Mallorca.
Oh, sorry.
There's a bunch of different spellings for that. And for the bigger one
Confusing.
Here in the middle... You can spell it like three different ways, so...
All right, but there's a Menorca and a Mallorca.
And a Mallorca.
Oh, Mallorca, sorry. Yeah. It's even worse. I'm angry. This is confusing for confusion's sake right here.
Yeah.
Be a little more creative when you're naming your islands.
You can also spell that big one in the middle. What does it say, Kaylin? M. We'll slide it up there. It's M. There's a J in there.
Oh, no.
Now, so a Menorca and a Mallorca.
Who dared to give you this news?
I was watching TMZ last night, where I get all my heavy news.
Sure.
And I, for some reason, did some story on Menorca, and I was angry.
Or wait, did you mean Mallorca?
That's the same as the middle island in my image.
Oh, that's
a different spelling.
I didn't think I could be more outraged over Hawaii and Kauai, but it turns out...
You can.
I am.
He was watching TMZ boning up his archipelagos.
All right, sorry. Where were we?
Ricky,
what's going on?
He has a car for
Yes, sir. So being a Jaguars fan, it led me to the NFL package.
Yes.
And I do understand the overindulgence of the 7-8 screens at one time and how it can just, it's not the same as it was the first time. And I remember I was a kid. I went to the store with like $10 and I bought just everything but candy. And this old guy turned around and he was like, "Too much honey will mess up your tummy." And little do you know, it turns out to be a Bible verse.
What?
Yeah, as an atheist, I hate to say it, but all the sort of thoughts you have now are just somewhere in the Bible, and somebody thought of it first because they realized this stuff a long time ago. And I agree. It's one of the biggest things. It's one of the biggest things I probably wrestle with, but all people living in modern America have to wrestle with, which is how much do you enjoy eating out if you eat out four nights a week? And the answer is
standard.
Yes, you just don't enjoy it that much. So now what shall we do? Well, we shall have to kind of punish ourselves a little bit, if you want to call it that, and not go. It's this constant, you know, it's basically eat, then get on a treadmill at a gym, and then go eat some more. Like this constant sort of battle of, I got a warehouse. There's always a bunch of donuts laying around. So we sort of carb central, and you just sort of walk past it and you go, oh, I'm really like a bagel about now with some cream cheese, but I'm not going to do it. It's a weird mode to be in because I spent my entire first 30 years as a raccoon in the dumpster of life. Literally, I would dumpster dive, not for food. I would dumpster dive for like bike parts or stuff that was good or I could fix, or I'd go trash picking when I was young. And then I would scour for food. I'd go to the Henry's Tacos over on NoHo and just go, give me broken shells. Here's what I'm ordering. Boy, what a customer. I was like, I don't have any money, but I'm going to order a water. Somehow, back then, there were like two laws. They had to give you water and they had to let you use their bathroom. Now, there's no, we have none. Yeah, I want a water. I want broken hard taco shells. I know you have broken shells. And I want hot sauce. And they would give me the hot sauce, the broken shells, and the water, and I would just sit on the bench table. And that's what I would eat. I'm scouring and scrounging. And now I'm rich, and all I want to do is not get fat. So I have to sit around all day and look at food everywhere and just go, don't, just keep. And then you have kids and a wife with a crazy metabolism, and you open the fridge, and it's all smoothies and ribs and yummies and and you just go, And then you see kids walking around all day with, like, army helmets filled with popcorn, just, hold on, I can't hear you, I'm chewing. And they just all sit around. I mean, Lynette does what I would love to do, which is almost on a nightly basis. You pick one of those cereals, which is supposed to be good for you, but it's horrible, like Honey Nut Cheerios or something like that. Like, Honey Bunches Oats.
Nut clusters.
This is granola with nut clusters in it. No, it's a bunch of sugar and a bunch of carbs, and then they pour them, and then it's 11 o'clock at night. Oh, a nice big bowl of cereal while you're watching TV. That'd be awesome, right?
Sounds great.
It sounds great, and I just sit there and go, no. But it's weird to go from insane scavenger mode. Mm-hmm. It'd be easier to be in the mode I'm in now if I just grew up like a normal human being. Right. Mm-hmm. But I was in insane scavenger mode, and now I'm in buy everything and then watch everyone else eat it and cry.
That sounds like a Twilight Zone episode. No offense.
It's a tough mode.
Thank you. It's a tough mode, but it's very good because it does. You exercise constantly, like every night when everyone's pouring themselves a bowl of cereal and I'm just sitting there watching them. It's that mode. Yeah. It's a good mode. It ends up, it makes you stronger and you can get more done.
For sure.
It exercises a muscle because there's more gravity in a weird way where I am.
And you don't live in a constant state of regret. Right. I'll do better tomorrow.
Right. Right. It's like just a bowl of the simple act of the bowl of cereal at night.
It was part of this complete breakfast growing up.
Yeah. Most important meal today.
You know what I mean?
I know.
With the toast and the non-fresh orange
juice. I always
looked
at the complete breakfast at the end of the commercials.
Me too.
Who's eating that for breakfast?
There was toast, cereal,
orange juice, milk, some of the eggs. Like, there was literally a complete breakfast.
Right. A little vase with a flower in it.
Who's eating that?
All right. Not the Corollas. All right, let's see. All right, a couple things. We'll take a break in 1 second. First, I'll tell you guys about Simply Safe. Let's see. You might put off getting that home security. You don't want those slimy sales guys running over to your house. Long-term contracts, expensive installations. Why bother? Why not get the best protection? It's so easy. Just go to Simply Safe Home Security. Get the system. We told you, Dawson got himself a new home, not ready to move yet, but when he does move, he's literally going to take his Simply Safe system with him. And it's something you can't do when they drill holes and pull wires everywhere. Top-of-the-line protection, no long-term lock-in contracts or hidden fees. You just order it online, set it up, you know, how many windows you got, how many doors you got, how many keypads do you want, get it all set up. Get your protection, your 24/7 protection for your family, and get 10% off. Go to simplysafe.com, S-I-M-P-L-I, safe, simplysafe.com/Adam. Get your 10% off. Good guys. It's simplysafe.com. All right. We had a fan, Scott, I think it's Elon. Scott Elon, I'll pronounce it, who passed. And I was made aware of this through a series of tweets, and we love our fans here, and it's always sad when a fan passes. So, and there's a certain, I don't know, look, we were part of Scott's life. Scott probably wasn't a part of our life, and it's a weird relationship that... And
Scott was also part of a private Facebook group that's got about 10,000 members, but he was one of our hardest core fans.
Right. So it's sad saying goodbye to someone in a weird way you've never met, but in a weird way they knew you intimately.
You affected
part of each other's lives.
Yes. So
looked like a great guy. They tweeted us a lot of pictures.
Yes. So to Scott's family and the fans and the folks that he left behind, we do offer our sincere condolences, and Scott will be missed. Okay, we are going to take ourselves a little break. We'll play a little good sports that we always do. Listen to a little Damashek over there. We'll talk to comedian Nimmer right after this. Good sports. It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started. NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad stuff on movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping Hawker.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla there. Ace, how are you?
I'm doing good. What's the poop?
Well, the poop is it's football. It's time for more football. The weekend is upon us, just about here. Let's go under the hood. Upon further review, there's plenty of football out there to be watching this weekend. Actually, the pennant races are coming down to the stretch, Ace. I don't know if you've been paying attention to it. They're just about through the 162-game schedule in baseball.
Oh, man. I'm on the edge of my seat. Look, I found it weird. The only part of the whole season that seemed weird is the Dodgers were so far ahead, and last I checked, they're on like a 14-game skid or something.
Yeah, it's crazy that a baseball team in the same season can have that kind of range. I mean, it's historical range in both directions.
They were literally 81 and 39 or something, and then skidded for 14 or 15 games?
Well, it feeds what you've always said, that basically every baseball team is more or less like a few games off of 81 and 81 every year.
Oh, Angels are currently 76 and 76. That's what I love. So we could start the season right now for the Angels, and it would be exactly
the same
as when the season starts.
That's right. Okay. So, like I say, upon further review, this is something that allows us to readdress our initial opinions. In the world of sports, often that happens to me with uniforms and team names. I bristle when I first hear them. Then a few years later, I realize, maybe it wasn't so bad. I stand firm on
Dodgers 9-21 in their last 30 games. But before that, Gary, and that's the insane part. Go ahead.
Yeah, that is crazy. Like, I stand firm, as I say, on like the Minnesota Wild is the worst name in major sports. It's the Minnesota Outsides is what you're saying. The Wild refers to the great outdoors. You could be the Minnesota Outsides. What are we doing?
Probably in the Urban Dictionary is something derogatory of what takes place in public pools in certain counties. Something called wilding. Either definition, not flattering.
No. You know what? We should really do that and get through
88-35 before the skid, and then went 9-21.
It's just bad. What evidence, what information do those extra, say, you know, it used to be at least it was 154 games. What would happen? Aside from saving the owner or sparing the billionaire owners 8 games extra worth of loot, what would America lose if it went to 154?
Well, it should go to 100 games, and I'll tell you what the problem is with baseball. No real significant injuries. I mean, there are pitchers that hurt their elbow or whatever, but people in football, somebody says, hey, it's a 16-game season. Why don't we extend it to an 18-game season? And the players' union goes, no way. There's too many injuries. You know, somebody says, how about we play more preseason or we do more this or more teams in the playoffs or extended playoffs or whatever it is. It's like, no, too many injuries. Too dangerous. Too many injuries. Baseball, zero injuries. I mean, guys, sometimes a guy will be eating sunflower seeds and laughing while he's on the bench and inhale some sunflower husk and it'll get caught in his lung and they'll get like a staph infection. I mean, there are injuries like that, but mostly.
Bob Ojeda, I think, got DL'd once because he was doing gardening outside of his home.
And there's pine tar eye, where you're just messing around too much with the pine tar rag, and then you go to wipe your eye and it gets infected. They have, you know, pretty, they have injuries like that, but no real injuries. So what we need is we need some injuries in baseball, and we need to figure out a way to cause injuries in baseball. And once we cause injuries in baseball, then after that, they'll limit it to 100 games. So, like, things like this. Let's say once a game, you introduce an exploding bat into the lineup. You don't say who has it. You don't know where it's going to show up, but it'll just fracture into 1,000 pieces, and sharp shards of ash and maple will go flying everywhere. So that'd be like, and like, let's say one inning.
Ball or grenade? You don't know.
Yeah, right. One inning, the catcher can't wear a mask for just one inning. Or a cup for just one inning. You know what I mean? And then we just, you pick them. And as the injuries start going up, people start getting outraged, and we start to shorten
you
the season.
You need that attrition to really compel America. You're right. That's there's, you're right about that. By the way, as a side note, you played plenty of football. Did you used to wear a cup? I talked to a lot of pro football players.
None of them wear a cup.
Not one football player in the NFL that I'm aware of wears a cup. And as I've said, they're very worried about this and that, the players. And yet they go out on a field on purpose without a cup, and they say, well, it's because it causes chafing. When you're out there running around and you got all the equipment, it really chafes on your thighs and on your groin. And I said, what about the other possibility? What about the explosion that could happen? And how is it that there never has been said explosion? How can a helmet never have run into a ball and caused a disruption for a man for the rest of his days?
Yeah, my feeling is as long as there are helmets, there needs to be cups. Now,
how can that be? How can that never have happened?
I've talked to Warren Sapp about this. Warren Sapp did not wear a uniform. He wore basically cut-off sweatpants that were the colors of his team.
Yeah.
He didn't wear a girdle or hip pads or thigh pads. He just wore pants, tight pants. There were no pads or anything. And I talked to these guys. Warren Sapp would go out there. The only thing he had was undersized shoulder pads. He was wearing no other equipment. He'd wear a jersey and pants, but there were no other in socks. But in terms of equipment, he had nothing else. I talked to guys about this, and they'd pretty much just go, you don't hit a dude in the balls. And I'm like, well, you don't tear his ACL either, but stuff happens. You know what I mean?
Like, it is really a crazy – really think about that. How is it possible? There are collisions. There are 180 collisions a game.
When I played – Pop Warner football, they didn't do it in high school. I can't remember if they did it in high school. I don't think they did. In Pop Warner football, they'd line you all up, and they would weigh you in. And they would weigh you in just like they would weigh in a boxing match, which is, you know, you're playing Gremlins or Bantams or Peewees. They'd set the max weight to 128 pounds or whatever it was. And everyone would just step on the scale. If it didn't move up, then keep walking. You know, they didn't care how much you weighed. They just wanted to make sure you didn't weigh over 132. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, everyone would weigh in, and then they would line everybody up. And they'd go, all right, everybody, shoulder pads. And everyone would be like, bump, 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 bump. Thigh pads, knock, 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 knock. Cup. And you'd hear the very distinct sound of 27 11-year-olds all tap, tap, tapping on their cup at the same time. They had rules. When I was in high school, I didn't wear a tail pad, a tailbone pad. Mm-hmm. I felt like it looked weird, and it was kind of unnecessary, and I think nobody really...
Looks a little bit like you got something in your diaper, I agree.
Yeah, no one really wears those anymore. But cups were always required.
I was like Franco Harris wore the really big hip pads. You don't see anybody showing up in those anymore.
The best is in college when they would hang out and they would spread out like wings a little bit with a nice tight belt, like, you know, Billy Sims or some guy like that. The cups in baseball were only worn by the catcher.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes third base.
Yes, that is in little. That's exactly what it was. The coach would always say, "No, you're catching today. You got to put the cup on." I did talk to former Raider. Now he's the star of what's it called? American Ninja Warrior.
Oh, right.
Akbar Bajabiamila. Yeah, he's a delight. Oh, he was on this show, wasn't he? I forgot about that.
Friend of the show.
I forgot about that. Akbar's the greatest sweetheart of a guy. He told me once that when you said, like, you don't hit a guy in the balls, he told me that in college that was something you could get away with. When there's a pile up for a fumble and there's a mass of humanity, you could reach into the pile and grab a guy by the junk and squeeze him and make him give the football up. And you could do that. And Akbar did that in his rookie season. I forget who reprimanded him, but somebody said, whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't college anymore. We don't do that in the pros. That's the standard in the pros. Like, that crosses a line. Now that you're on the pro level, you don't do it. But in college, they do that.
There's a Marquise of Queensbury about the junk in the pros that is this weird kind of no-fly zone. In a league where everyone's trying to kill everybody, that's the one that they understand.
I love it. There's a nobility in that.
Yes, it's normal.
I like it. Now we've gone by. I didn't get to tell you my latest upon further review. You're going to be upset about it. May as well kick it down the road because it's music related and Ace is going to get hot about that. So, this one. So we'll leave it there. Another week of Good Sports in the Books. Thanks for listening. Podcast One Sports. Good Sports.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in One offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Podcast One Sports presents Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, you can hear Jack Harbaugh.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Jim Harbaugh.
What the hell's going on around here?
And JT Rogan share their stories from on and off the field. Past guests include John Harbaugh, ESPN's Adam Schefter, and Pardon My Takes, PFT, and Big Cat. So don't miss an episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, exclusively on PodcastOne.com and the new Podcast One app. Just a sample of what's coming to Podcast One Sports.
In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
A duck in Germany damages the sports car owner's prized asset.
Yes, and now the car owner wants the donkey owner to pony up. The donkey allegedly caused $6,000 worth of damage when it bit the backside of this McLaren. German media says the donkey owner refused to pay for the damage. Police told the car owner that the donkey probably mistook the bright orange car for a giant carrot.
A McLaren, by the way, base price $265,000.
Donkey price? I don't know.
I feel safe 50? In my black Prius.
Yeah, we're good. He wants another bite.
Donkey wants no part of the Prius.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Let me speak from personal experience. Donkey owners are not usually heavily insured. So if a donkey takes a bite out of your car, you're on your own.
Yeah, that's
why I insure. That's why I have a low deductible.
On your donkey?
I own my donkey. Nimmer is here.
He's a
Lebanese comedian. No bombing in Beirut. The name of the special, very funny, premieres on Showtime next Saturday. That's October 7th at 11 p.m. Congratulations, man. It's a
Thank
great
you.
Special. You shot it in L.A. and in Lebanon?
Where in Beirut and Los Angeles.
Please tell me all about your life. I'm very curious about it.
Start from the beginning.
Beirut.
Yes, sir.
You're 34.
Yes, sir.
And younger than I. But when Beirut was the go-to example of you don't want to end up here when I was 16.
Mm-hmm. You know, Johnny Carson was doing a monologue and he wished something bad upon someone. He'd be like, may you work at a hot dog on a stick in Beirut. You know, that was, you know, whatever. Right, maybe
that was the hex.
Yeah. Now it's Tikrit or it's right. Tijuana or whatever it is. But Beirut was, and then Beirut was great
mm-hmm.
at some point. Give mm-hmm. us the Beirut.
Well,
walk us through Beirut.
Before I was born, Beirut was considered the Paris of the Middle East. It was
right.
this gorgeous
metropolitan
democracy, everybody living with each other. It was a fantastic place. Then the Civil War happened, 1975-76. It began and it went all the way to 93. It's pretty much what's happening in Syria right now.
Mm-hmm.
That was Lebanon for about 25, 30 years. And then in 93 the Civil War ended and the country had to rebuild, of course. Civil War ended, nobody won whatsoever. It was just a lot of needless killing. Yeah,
right.
And then I went back. So I grew up in San Diego. When I was 2 years old, we left Lebanon in about 1985, headed to San Diego. And then I lived there. And then when I was 11, my dad took us back in 93 to Lebanon. And I've lived there since. And I've been through the various stages and wars that happened since that time as the country slowly yet surely put itself back to where it wanted to be originally, and it's now a fantastic, incredible place.
What did or does your dad do?
My dad was a civil mechanical engineer, so when he came to America, he would actually just build
taxi
houses.
Taxi driver.
Yeah.
So he was able to apply his trade
yeah.
here,
and then when we went back, he just continued doing what he does. He's been very successful in restarting lives over and over to prioritize his family. So that's what he's done pretty much the whole time.
Did he want to go back to Lebanon because his family and the rest of your family was there, or did he? I think here's what we assume. What
yeah.
we assume in the United States is this is the best place.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come here, you stay here.
Uh-huh.
But if you go back, it's because there's obligations or family or whatever. But we never really do the math where you go, well, maybe they like it better back, or maybe back
yeah.
is better.
Well, first of all, America is obviously an incredibly great place, and I'm a very proud American. But it's safer in Lebanon than it is in America, especially if you want to raise children. It's a much better environment. The only
really?
Problem is war. I make jokes about it now on stage.
Except for war.
My dad was the funniest about that. He'd be like, oh, there's only war. You know, that was like, that's the only issue. But he used to say war, you can prepare for it. You know it's coming. You can take contingency. Whereas in America, you can get kidnapped, raped, stabbed, mugged, and drugs in schools and stuff like that. Over there, we don't have any of that. So
why
but
no
war?
But war.
Just war.
But once again, the war is coming. Yeah, you know, yeah. You stay home.
It's like hurricane country.
it's a hurricane country.
Down the hatches.
There you go. It's just wars instead of hurricanes.
So first off, get ready with 30 Days in a Hole by Humble Pie. Tell me if you know this song or your dad knows this song. You've ever heard this song.
Yeah.
Because there's a lyric where they're talking about Lebanese
mm-hmm.
in the song, but I've never known what it meant.
Maybe I can shed some light.
You can shed some light on it. Dawson, you can find it. And then I want to know why no drugs or no anything in schools, or no murders or no rapes or no any of the stuff we seem to excel in over here. Are you ready? Go ahead, Dawson.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. We'll fix it.
I forgot there's a long intro to this song. Where
there's a lot of like said a cappella, whatever. '70s classic rock hit. Hold on, Dylan. Dylan came in. And got Nimmer to take his headphones on.
Did I miss the part?
Literally only that part.
Are you kidding me?
What? It was really great. You would have loved it.
Nimmer's car keys. All right, here we go.
Take your headphones off real quick.
That's the best part of the song right there.
Do we know what red?
You don't know what red Lebanese is?
It's got to be heroin or something.
They don't have that in Lebanon.
It's hash. It's here.
Oh, it's here.
There's a strain of hash here that's called red Lebanese.
He's talking about drugs, dude.
That's a drug.
All square. Right.
You know? I heard he was talking about drugs, but I don't know what red Lebanese is. It's hash.
It's not. That's not a... We didn't market that.
Yeah, well, just say your dad was right. Even your hash has been exported. So our kids can do it in their schools.
Oh, there's a very
funny... Red Lebanese is a hash strain, like Maui Wowie or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, or Majorca Green. Dorka or something.
There's there's a very funny video that went very viral in Lebanon of a guy who has hash fields, and he's showing them on public television, showing off. And then the woman says, aren't you worried that he's that the government is seeing that you have
it's hash plantation.
It has hash plantations on TV. And he tells her – she tells him, aren't you worried that they have hashish? And his reply is, it's not hashish. It's hash. That was his
that's his rebuttal.
That was his rebuttal. He doesn't give a shit about anybody seeing it.
Did he get – do people smoke a lot of hash in Lebanon?
No, no, they don't. I mean, you'll have the occasional smoker, but the thing is, the reason in Lebanon things are safer, and by the way, not only is it because it's safer, it's also a very beautiful country. People don't know that, but it's a Mediterranean. It's like being in Italy. So there's the mountains and the snow and then the sea, and it's not a desert.
Except for the war-torn battlefields.
Except for that's everywhere. And you know, having war in Italy, nicer than having a war in the desert.
That's
so,
a good point.
It's a good point. But it's smaller than San Diego County. Lebanon only has 4 million people. So everybody knows everyone.
Ah.
So if you're going to start selling drugs, murdering, they know when a crime is committed, you know immediately who did it.
Self-policing. Mm-hmm.
Like it's not necessarily so, but the police are so entrenched in the community that if somebody got attacked, they're like, okay, it's obviously either this person or that person. And then they detain them. They find, so you can't, there's, and then you bring shame to the whole family because everybody knows everyone's like, that guy's son did this. And then, so there's like so much social stigma to doing anything wrong that it's much less likely.
We got rid of shame a long time ago in this country.
Yeah, we still
like,
have
we
shame.
We don't have shame like other countries
have
shame.
We're not
shame. We've decided that that was a bad thing. I did not sign off on getting rid of shame. I like shame. Yes, you get rid of shame, and what fills the void is a lot of bad stuff.
A lot of shameful activities.
Yeah, it kind of shame. You know, we're just doing a news story about a woman getting wrestled off an airplane because she's allergic to dogs, and there were two dogs on her Southwest flight. It's all over the news.
She was high on Red Lebanese.
That's right.
Chicago Green.
Shame prevented people from traveling with their pets. Mm-hmm. Shame prevented people from taking their dogs onto crowded flights because it was the wrong thing to do. Mm-hmm. Not, we didn't need a law. So it's like, hey, man, that's your dog. You don't travel. You don't take your
dog on the plane.
You're going, you're going to St. Louis. You're not bringing your dog. I got a dog too. It's at home. Like that's, that was what shame did. And when we got rid of shame, it opened the floodgates to, because what happens, because shame really regulates the society. The laws, those are meant to get around. The laws are basically the tax code. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we'll look for some loopholes here so we don't have to pay the taxes. The taxes in big corporations are basically what the law is with people. It's like, hey, I want to smoke pot. It's illegal. I'm going to get a note from my doctor says I've got glaucoma. Okay. I want to travel with my dog. My dog wants to smoke pot with me while I travel. I need my dog. I can go online and get another
best.
Note.
Best
go to the same website, get another note from the same doctor that says you can travel with the whatever. And so you get around. Now, shame.
Shame is God.
Shame is God. You can't escape that.
You cannot,
there's no getting around or loopholes or anything. Imagine if corporations worked with shame and taxes. There'd be no offshore anything.
Right?
There'd be all paid here. There'd be no anything.
Our shame is mostly in the Cayman Islands now.
Right.
Offshore shame accounts.
Yeah. So
that's what they would be called.
We need, yes.
We need shame back.
Yeah, it'd be either Mallorca, Mallorca, or Minorca. The point is this.
Maybe a Minorca.
We are working very hard to not shame anybody. We've decided
that
it's not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
And we look at it as so progressive. Like, hey, that kid, don't shame that person.
No, shame him.
Shame him.
Shame him.
Shame him.
Shame him. You got it. I mean, look, if you can't take shame, how the hell are you going to make it in the real world?
What do you, most
There's
people,
no way.
Most kids that were like fat kids
were fat
in a former life were just got, you know, what happened? You lost the weight. I got, people made
that
fun of
me.
I got tired of people
that
making fun of me.
I was a very fat kid. And I would shame myself. So it wasn't like I would never look and say I have to be comfortable with my body. I have to get a better body. That's what I have to do.
It's a good point.
Because there's clear examples of people next to me in the classroom who have better bodies and they're sleeping better and they're healthier and they're, you know, things are going better for them and they have higher energy. So I said, if I want to be like that, it's not me accepting my body. It's losing the weight.
It's a very good point. We're watching a Gary had the commercial from Dove or whatever it was where they were during run. The one I was talking about during the Emmys. The one we were talking about, which is, yes, this notion of you're overweight and you're unhealthy. Let's get you to love yourself versus let's get you to lose the weight and be healthy. It's an ass-backwards approach to life.
You should get
people
to hate themselves. I believe in the power of hate.
Yes.
Truly, I really do.
I'm with you.
I don't believe that love will make the world a better place. I think that accepting and understanding hate will make the world a better place because when hate can be very positive. Like if you hate the fact that you're poor – you might end up becoming rich because you're going to work harder.
Yes.
Not accepting that being poor is okay and that this is – it just – hate. Hate is great.
Hate is great.
Do you remember –
learn to hate yourself.
Was there ever a time like you spent a week in Lebanon and forgot about it? Because I'm pretty sure you might have an illegitimate son.
Yes.
Never. Do I sound a little like –
yeah.
It could be me.
Did you black out for a couple days and end up in the Middle East?
I got pretty high on some red Lebanese gypsy ladies.
It's real. I mean if there's never been a situation that's changed because of love. All of this love trumps hate, that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There is no civil war in Syria because people love to hug each other too much. It's hate, and the only way you're going to stop the hate is if your hate is stronger. The good hate overcomes the bad hate.
Wow, revolutionary.
But that's the truth. Nobody's going to come in and say, I have a gun to your head, and then you look at him and you say, but if you open your heart right now and you see that we could connect on a cell, it's not going to happen.
I know. Wow. We have. That's why I think of every asshole with the coexist bumper sticker on their Prius.
And celebrate our differences. Why on earth would we celebrate what differentiates us? We should celebrate what we do, what we have in common, but how we do it differently. But not what differentiates. There are people who believe that when a girl is born in certain places, I don't want to name countries or whatever, that you should mutilate a woman's clitoris at birth so she never feels pleasure.
Am I supposed to celebrate that? My grandmother said it's pronounced clitoris. It's a long argument. It's ongoing. By the way, look it up in the dictionary. We went to my grandfather's oversized font dictionary and opened it up, and it says he passed. You can pronounce it either way. Yes, no, we should not be
celebrating the differences.
And also, but so, in the theme...
Mm-hmm.
We must label things good and bad, not different.
No,
which is, hey, you're in a female genital mutilation. That's
bad.
That we cannot judge.
Your choice.
That's your thing.
Bad.
No, bad.
Yep.
It helps.
Mm-hmm.
And we've decided that there's no judging. Now, I've said all I do is judge, and you need judging. If you don't judge, then we're living in chaos here. I'll show you this Dove commercial. They honor women who come in all different shapes. This is what we do. This would never fly in Lebanon.
This would be... I have to see it first.
It's mainly about the super husky chick dancing. They're in partnership with Shonda Rhimes. 100% female crew, which is weird that they have to talk about embracing everybody.
I think the entire model of what beauty is needs to be thrown completely out. And we need to start defining what beauty is for ourselves.
With that flying Lebanon, you can stop it. But we're going to define what beauty is for ourselves. How full of shit is this country?
First of all, you can't define what beauty is. Beauty has changed. If you go back to medieval times, fatter people were more beautiful and viewed as opulent and more desirable. It's not up to you. You need to abandon this thing that we have control over society. What you have to choose is, do you want to be a player or not? If you want to be a player, you're going to have to play by the rules. If you don't want to be a player, that's totally fine, as long as you're happy. But don't be angry that you're going into a basketball game and you want to throw a football and they're not going to let you. That's not how it works.
I also think you're probably not going to be very happy in your life if you're just defining everything. Like,
right, yeah.
I make $11,000 a year, but I'm calling myself successful. I'm calling myself insanely successful. And I'm 100 pounds overweight, and my phone never rings, but I'm calling myself a beauty.
No.
A siren of the silver screen.
If they put
No, stop it. You're probably going to have a lot of eating with your cat alone in your apartments on Saturday night. So this notion of like, let's talk everyone into feeling this way about themselves when they shouldn't is a dangerous thing
unhealthy.
To do.
It's unhealthy. Oh. She's clearly got a higher risk for heart disease. She's clearly got a higher risk for immobility. So if I was anyone who actually loved this woman, instead of taking the time to get her to accept herself, I would take the time to help her lose the weight. I don't mean she has to look like a model on the cover of some magazine. I'm saying you need to just be healthier.
I'm coming out with a new soap called Lebanese Spring. It's not on a rope. It's on a chain. Yeah. It's a chain of soap. It's a piece of anchor chain you put around your neck.
And it says bathe with shame.
It's red. Yeah. And we hang it around your neck. That's right. You'll never fall asleep in the tub, and if you do, you're going to Davy Jones' locker. I agree. The woman we saw in the commercials, 100 pounds overweight, she's unhealthy, and she should not redefine what beauty is. She should probably lose
shame
the weight
on
and
Dove.
Be healthy.
Shame on Dove. You know why shame on Dove? Because they're exploiting her.
Let's boycott
to
Dove.
To sell some soap.
We got to boycott
Dove. They're exploiting her to sell some soap.
Oh, man, do I love this man.
Gary, do you have the picture I posted on Twitter earlier today? I don't know if I tweeted. Did you get my IM about that?
I didn't. Give me just a moment.
I posted a picture on people doing hashtag, what's it called? Puber me. Basically, it's you when you were 12 years old. Awkward pictures of you were in 12. If anyone wanted to redefine beauty, if anyone wanted to redefine what beauty is.
Oh, it's the kid from Mask.
We're looking at
Brian.
I don't know
from
if it's quite that. I'm
what?
Three words. Three that. Words. Not Brian Bishop.
Oh, that's I'm already.
Not Brian Bishop.
Yeah. Very handsome.
I think those words. On, these
very
words,
handsome to moms everywhere.
Thank you. That's a sweet boy. These words are ringing in my ears as I snapped the picture. All right, Brian. 3, 2, 1.
Not Brian Bishop.
Yeah. What year? Well, you can go to amcrawler.com and look at this picture. Oh, in eighth grade? What?
Circa eighth, yeah. What? Right about there.
Tell us the story. Nimmer, tell us a humbling, Gina, you probably don't have one,
oh,
but
of course
tell
not.
Us a humbling story. Let's all just tell our humbling story with the opposite sex where you got built up for a second and then you got the rug pulled out from under you.
Do you want to tell my story?
Tell your story, yes.
Famously, where this line comes from.
Not Brian Bishop.
That's the punchline. I'm Brian Bishop. And I was in, I think it was sixth grade. By the way, I have a footnote to the story afterwards. I was in sixth grade, I think, sixth or seventh, and we were sitting around, you know, the room, the classroom, and it was kind of like in between time, so it wasn't like we're all sitting in class. Like people were kind of huddled up maybe before or after recess, and there was a group of like, four girls, and they were chatting, and I'm standing a few feet away doing something else, but I can hear them quite clearly. And, you know, in seventh grade, it's all, who do you like? Who do you like? Mm-hmm. Who do you like? And this one girl, attractive girl, Stacy Duran, one of the attractive.
Stacy Duran.
He's scarred.
Duran.
Oh, Duran.
Duran.
Wow.
Yeah. Stacy was attractive. And she and they're like, Stacy, who do you like? And she kind of sheepishly says, Brian. And the girl, one of the girls said,
not Brian Bishop.
No, what they said was, what they said was, you like Brian Bishop? What's wrong with you?
She was horrified.
And then she said,
not Brian Bishop.
No, Brian Affronti, not Brian Bishop.
No.
I'm a few feet away, my soul died a little bit.
I love
now,
those.
Stacy reached out to me on Facebook after hearing this story on this podcast. One of our friends told her about it, and she heard it. She says, I'm very sorry to have been a part of a painful memory for you. I hope we can be friends. Stacy, all is forgiven. It was
okay.
It was an honest, sweet wow. moment. But I didn't mean to be hurt my
plus
feelings.
Plus, he thought he was beautiful, so that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. I mean, how
yes, my,
look, how could you resist that?
it's a great shot.
But thank now you. What Dove would tell you is you should have ignored her.
Wrong.
She's wrong, yeah. And you define your own beauty.
That's right.
Yeah. You never do anything.
Take that, Stacy.
I had...
and Brian Affronti.
I got two. One is Brian for Affronti. Some reason, when I was in the seventh grade, it was came down between me and my stud friend, Chris. And a girl named Esther, and she literally just kind of said, like, I don't know which one of you I want to make my boyfriend, but I'll call you at noon and let you know. And we were just, like, standing by the phone or something, and the phone rang over at Chris's house, and it was Esther, and she's like, well, I gave it some thought, and I'm going with Adam. And then she paused, and she said, all of my friends think I'm crazy. But I'm going with Adam. And I thought, you could have just...
What the sucker punch?
Just left it. I'm going with punch. Adam. Her friends turned out to be spot on, because Chris turned out to be the best looking stud in North Hollywood. And he was just hitting as I was on my decline about the seventh or eighth grade. And there's that. The other time, You know, as a dude, when you get dumped and you're riding low and you have this sort of this smell of failure, the stench of failure on you, and you try to regain it, but chicks... Guys would never work this way. Guys work the opposite way, which is chick, she's wounded, she's emotionally hurt.
Time to pounce,
yeah. Right? I remember a friend of mine had her parents had a nice house, and his parents were out of town, and we were like 21, and we're like sort of a honky-tonky kind of place, and we're like, why don't we just get some chicks back up to the house? Maybe we could get them in the hot tub or something. And I remember looking at a table with a couple of like 4.5s. And I was just like looking at him, and
that's
went
1.8.
Like, yeah, I was like, nine. I was like, there's two kind of homely chicks, but I'm so bottomed out right now. I need a confidence builder. I'm gonna walk up to him, and like no one would say hi to these two, and I like walked up to him, and I just stood over him at the table, and I said, "You mind if I sit down?" And the one looked at me and said, "Why?" just going, oh man,
that's worse.
It's so bad too, because I thought I was going to do these two a favor.
Yeah, that's worse.
And I got why, and it was an earnest why. Like, why would you do that? And I'm like, I'm just going to go kill myself. Because when you're reeling, they know it.
Yeah,
they know the spiral.
They
man.
go for the jugular. I have many, but the first one that comes to mind is in sixth grade. I was all teeth and scraggly hair and nose. That was it. And feet on the bottom. And big baggy sweatshirts and the big jeans and the whole sixth grade look. So we were sitting in the library just having like a study hour. And this girl who was really cool came and sat next to me. And she's like, "Hey, do you like James?" I was like, yeah, he's really cute. Yeah. "No, do you like him? I can ask if he likes you." And I was like, "Oh, no, that's okay." She's like, "No, I've heard some, like... I could ask him for you. Do you like it?" I was like, yeah, he's pretty cute. And I can't believe you're talking to me. Okay. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to wait. And I sit at the table, and she goes and talks to James in the corner. And all I see is like them whispering to each other. And then her like sort of really meekly like pointing at me, and they both bust out laughing, walk away together, and make out in the gym. Ah.
Jesus Christ.
We should all move to Lebanon. Jesus. This is a horrible society we trapped in.
That was fun up until June started talking.
It's like a Molly Ringwald, like, bad 80s movie.
It's like Gossip Girl on steroids.
Damn it. Yeah.
Maybe the best looking...
It's a fun bit.
I don't know who these people are who don't go through... Maybe the best looking person in your junior high or grade school or whatever is just the person that doesn't go through the insanely awkward phase that everyone seems to go through with the braces and the glasses, mainly not knowing what to do with their hair or whatever it is.
All the girls had sisters, so they knew how to do like the waterfall bangs, and I just couldn't figure it out.
Nimmer, any
always going the wrong
any
way.
Stories?
Mine is kind of a different angle. When I was young, I remember very young watching movies with like, you know, Brad Pitt or whoever would be in them, and in my head, and you know that this guy is considered the hunk of the world. And in my head, I was like, I don't even look remotely close to any of these guys on the big screen. So obviously, I'm very unattractive. So I never had any confidence. It was very liberating because I never looked at a woman and thought I ever had a chance. So I was never around women and was like, oh, I hope she likes me or whatever. It was always like, there's no way she would like me because there's a Brad Pitt out there. So that was how I was for most of my life. So what I would do is I would miss cues all the time. I remember there was this girl that everybody wanted to go out with, and of course I would have killed myself to go out with her, but it wasn't even an option. And she had a report that she needed to do on something. I had a tape recorded on the subject. So very smoothly, because I'm not trying to impress her, I went up to her and I said, "Hey, I got this thing. If you want, maybe could help you with your project." She's like, "Yeah, I'd love to." So I handed her the tape, no questions, got it for her the next day. She comes a few days later, gives me back the tape, and her friends are sitting behind her. And she's like, "You know, thank you so much." I'm like, "Oh, no worries, whatever." I grab the tape. I'm walking away. She's like, "I really want to thank you. Like, I'd love to take you out to lunch sometime." And I said, "No, you don't have to do that." And I just walked. I just walked away.
Wow.
And then a few days later, I saw her again, and I was like, "Hey!" And she just kept walking. I was like, "What's that?" Was so
mean. You rejected her.
She's so mean. And then I tell my friend, and he's like, "Why? What did you say?" And I'm like, "She wanted to thank me, take me out to lunch. I told her she doesn't have to. So why is she being mean to me? I was being nice." He's like, "You idiot! Yeah, like, you realize?" So,
what is this thing? I, of course, never had a conversation with my dad about any of this stuff.
Of course.
And
likewise.
Like, just what to do with a zit is going to be a weekend with me and my kids. Like, they're 11 now, around, but children. I'm going to explain to them, when you get a zit, don't go at it. No. You know what I mean? Here's what to do. Do this and do that and do the other. It's so weird that we never had a conversation with family members about
the things
dating,
that
zits, never. Relationships, puberty, like, just zero anything.
Nothing.
Just leave you to die out there in the wilderness by yourself.
My parents signed off on the glasses you saw on that picture. They were like, hey, okay, baby.
They were spot complicit.
Kimmel is still...
Those are pedophile glasses, Brian.
Kimmel is still pissed at his mom for letting him go to school with a attaché case instead of like a book bag. Like, he thought it would be cool when he was 13 to carry a briefcase, and then everyone called him Joe Briefcase after that, and he's still angry at his mom for letting him. That's the whole thing. It's like, as a parent, you got to go like, hey, you can't do that, or don't wear that, or no going to school with a briefcase. Like, I don't know what it is. I guess we're now in some sort of world where we talk to our kids and deal with our kids.
We've got to be.
I don't know how. And I get the part, and here's what I don't like, and it drives me nuts. The number one answer for how come your dad never talked to you or told you anything or did anything was or hugged you or anything is like, I never hugged his dad. Like, okay, but then what's my excuse?
Yeah, that's
like,
settled.
I'm hugging my kid and talking to him because I realize it's kind of nice to talk and hug and have a relationship. Like, oh, should I just use the exact same math that you used with it? Well, he never, by the way, according to your thing, with your logic, we'd never have fire. Because it's like other villagers who came before us never had fire. Like, we wouldn't have trains. Yeah. We wouldn't have airplanes because other people didn't have them before us. Mm-hmm. This weird. It's weird.
Or it wasn't done.
Yeah. There was a lot of that.
It just wasn't the way it was.
Yeah. It wasn't the way it was. No. Never. How about your dad? Is he proud of you for being a comedian?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure.
You're pretty sure.
After all the success, I'm pretty sure that, no, he is proud now, but there's always like... It was never easy.
Well, he's an engineer, right?
Exactly.
And he's Lebanese, so it's not a lot of communication.
No, not a lot of communication. It's think of an old school, you know, your dad, the old school dads. That was my dad, very, very strict. His dad was supposedly even stricter, so I should be happy that my dad.
That's the one.
That guy. Yeah. And basically, I believe, I'm going to do this. I believe that parents aren't supposed to encourage their kids about anything. No matter what their dream is.
You're running on an amazing platform.
No, because let me be honest. If your kid, if you go to your kid and he says, I want to do this, and you say, nah, you can't do that, and then they give up, well, then they weren't. I mean, if they can't overcome one opinion,
right?
Then how are they going to overcome the world? My dad, what he would do is he would, every day, he'd come into my house and walk into my room. I'd be asleep when I first started doing stand-up and wake me up at like 6:30 in the morning to give me a two-hour lecture as to how ridiculous I am, how much I'm throwing away my life on almost a daily basis. Despite what I was doing and achieving and growing and all of that. But every time he would, some of the stuff he would say would make me take pause and say, you know, I should be careful about that. I should worry about this. In his viewpoint, with his experience, what he was telling me, really what I was doing didn't make sense. And if you're not careful, you're going to end up pretty screwed. So in a way, he was warning me. In another way, if I couldn't overcome my father, then how the hell am I going to overcome the industry? That's how I thought.
Did you hate him for it at the time?
I hated my dad when I was about 13 to 21, it was like pure hatred. And then it became like, but I always respected him because he would say the most ridiculous stuff, but sit and explain them to me for hours. So I knew he loved me, you know, without ever having said he loved me. But then when I was 21, it flipped into undying, like just love and respect for, even though I wasn't a fan of any of his opinions.
Wow.
But it was just like, because I saw how much he sacrificed for me. So I was like, if you're going to sacrifice all of that, you have the right to have a shitty opinion.
Also, I've found that guys who enter the field of engineering aren't most verbose guys. They don't express themselves.
No.
They're not big huggers. No. They're just
he would express himself, just never hug. Not he wouldn't express love. He would express. He was a great expresser of discontent.
Let's put it that way. I had a stepdad who was not only an engineer, a mechanical electronics engineer. But he worked for the Skunk Work division at Lockheed. So he was an engineer. So by trade, he didn't like to talk. But he worked for the Skunk Works division, which is the top secret division where you had to not talk.
Perfect.
So he was bound.
Trained.
He was like literally the U.S. government says no talking.
Done.
Done and done.
He said,
So he wouldn't talk about, he just took that to mean about everything all of the time. And it was weird. It's weird because he's the quietest guy in the world and he was sworn to secrecy.
Do you understand, sir?
Do you understand?
Sir?
Yeah, he was working the stealth bomber and fighters and all. Wow. He was working on all the stealth stuff when it was a big deal with the Soviets and all the info.
Goodness.
And, I mean, same stuff that's going on now, but even harder, the height of the Cold War stuff. And imagine a bomber that could not be seen by radar. Like, what a big deal that was. So,
not that he'd ever tell you about
done
it.
Done and done with John.
What are you talking about?
I had to read about it in a magazine. That's how it's going to end up.
All right. Do we have, let's do a little bit of news.
Let's do it.
Why don't we do that? Nimmer, hang out, crack-wise.
Thank
you. I like the cut of your jib, man.
News with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Break. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, a couple of sad stories, but they are breaking today, so we'll go ahead and get them out there. Julia Louis-Dreyfus announced she has breast cancer in a post on her official Twitter account, according to CNN. She wrote, "One in eight women gets breast cancer. Today, I am the one." The actress went on to say, "The good news is I have the most glorious group of supportive and caring family and friends and fantastic insurance through my union. The bad news is not all women are so lucky, so let's fight all cancers and make universal health care a reality." The news comes after Dreyfus's historical Emmy win this month when she broke the record for the most Emmys won by a performer for a single role after she snagged a sixth one for Veep.
Do you think she knew about her breast cancer at the time and then,
you'd have to think so.
I think so.
Yeah, just kind of get through the Emmys and then you can deal with it.
Make the announcement?
Yeah, maybe.
So, you know, when everyone starts talking about, oh, this person's lucky or this person's not lucky or this work, well, which is it? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is why I don't put a lot of stock in luck or this person gets to or got that or so blessed or whatever. Everybody's got everything all the time. Yeah. Some people avoid a lot. Some people are the recipient of, a drunk driver sitting at an intersection and minding their business. But it's why I try to just avoid people saying, well, you're lucky or you were lucky to. It's why I always push back. It's just go out, make hay while the sun shines, do what you can. But yeah, the most Emmys and now breast cancer. Yeah.
She's a great example, too, of keeping your nose down and plugging away at the grindstone, because she was on SNL in the mid early-ish 80s, was kind of forgotten about. Seinfeld, of course, huge, and then kind of not forgotten about, but went, definitely off the radar a little bit. And then Veep is a huge, massive success.
Well, and then on the other side, I believe I'm correct in that she's an heiress. Like, her family's multi-billionaire.
She could never had to work in the first place.
And yet here she is being amazing and winning awards for it. And she could have just done nothing.
In 2006, her father's net worth was estimated at $3.4
billion. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's kind of how you know you want to do something because you do it.
Because you want to.
And because that's what you would do. Mm-hmm. You would do it anyway. Yeah.
Yep. Well, also, I'm sure you've heard by now, Hugh Hefner passed away Wednesday at the Playboy Mansion. He was 91 years old. He was born in 1926 in Chicago. He founded Playboy in 1953, made a big splash featuring Marilyn Monroe as the first centerfold. And the reason I bring that up is because he will be laid to rest next to her. He bought the crypt to the left of Marilyn Monroe in LA's Westwood Village Memorial Park. He dropped $75,000 on the burial spot in 92, once saying, "Spending an eternity next to Marilyn is too sweet to pass up."
That's him.
And a little funnish fact for you. Marilyn's ex-husband, Joe DiMaggio, used to own the crypt above hers, but he sold it when they got divorced in 1954. So it's Hef and Marilyn forever.
I liked Hefner. He was a cool guy.
Well, you did stuff at the mansion.
We
had an incredible legacy.
Yeah.
Just the publishing and the civil rights stuff and the music.
Yeah, it was a pretty good example of a dude who is like, I don't know, living in like suburban Illinois and just sort of working a crappy job or whatever. And he just went, I want to do this. And I think everyone probably said, you're nuts.
You're crazy. You're a pervert.
And he just went and did it. He just created this like lifestyle. I mean, at the height of his powers, Playboy wasn't, it was a magazine. It was like a life.
Yeah. And people become successful doing versions of successful things. Like here, he did a version of this that was successful. Hugh Hefner had no mold to go from. He was completely out of whole cloth.
Yeah. It's incredible. 91.
Not since he was replaced by the Girls Gone Wild guy.
Joe Francis?
Not since the icon Joe Francis.
Debonair.
No, he'll be, he was a good dude. He would host things that I've been to a couple of, we had our first, I think Loveline had their very first sort of party there when it was a syndicated radio, a TV show before it was on MTV. We'd done things there at the radio show. Yep. I'd done
Bill, Grotto in the Grotto.
I've done events, Bill Maher's back. Politically Incorrect was there. One of the bigger arguments I got into with Drew was Bill Maher would do Politically Incorrect there, like I don't know, once a year. They do like a live from the Playboy Mansion, and I think he'd do like a whole week there, and. Wow. And Bill, just like he did his show when he did it in the studio, would he'd tape it like 6:30 or 6 or 6:30 or 7 or something like that. And I was a frequent guest. So it'd be a lot of come to the show at 7 o'clock, then wrap it up at 8, and then I'd have to go to Westwood Westwood 1 and go do Loveline at 10 o'clock at night. And so Drew and I were the guest for Bill Maher's show, P.I., at the Playboy Mansion, and Drew was scared to death that his wife would find out that he went to the Playboy Mansion. And I kept saying to him, just tell her you're going to the Playboy Mansion to do PI, and then we're going to leave immediately and go do Loveline. It's like, she'll get pissed. And I was like, how can she get pissed? Like, we're going there to work, and then you're going to work, yeah. Like, immediately after that. And the place is filled with grips and cameras and crew and everything else. Yes, and he's like, she wouldn't understand me going to the Playboy Mansion. And I was like, then you go straighten her out. Like, go educate her. He's like, I don't want to. And I'm like, when you don't, you enable, she's crazy, and you're letting her get crazier. What you need to do is what you do with a child, where you go, listen to me. Here's what I'm doing. It's work. Get over it. Now I'm leaving. I'll see you when I come home for my second job. Okay. Goodbye. He was always scared. And that was the weirdest thing. He was like, it's disrespectful to go to the Playboy. And I said, not when they're filming a TV show there. It's
not when you have a call time.
Yes. You were talking about pussy whip.
Sure. Yeah.
Pussy whip.
Susan's so nice, though. I can't imagine her freaking out.
Yeah, but crazy trumps nice every time.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, sad. Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby was the king
of
that place.
Him and Jimmy Collins just doing laps, high fiving.
Yeah, he was always presiding over the Olympic Games and the roller skating parties.
Offering career advice.
When you look back,
to young ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the game room.
Just him and his Pez dispenser and a cigar.
And a new Coke.
That's right. His special secret Pez dispenser. Yeah.
Don't touch that can of Coke. It's mine.
That's right.
Well, I don't know if you heard this, but I'm having a hard time believing that it's real. TMZ reports the mastermind behind the terrifying robbery of Kim Kardashian last year in Paris has written a letter to the reality star apologizing to her for what he did. The letter, it was handwritten in French by Eomar Ait Kadache, who held Kim at gunpoint and robbed her of millions of dollars in jewelry.
He's in jail, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he wrote her a letter that says, and maybe it's for an early parole, I don't know. It says, what part of it? After observing your emotion and realizing the psychological damages I've inflicted, I decided to write you not to obtain from you some sort of indulgence. I'm sure it's translated badly. I want to come to you as a human being to tell you how much I regret my gesture, how much I have been moved and touched to see you in tears. He continues to say, know that I fully sympathize with the pain you're enduring, your children, your husband, and your close ones. I hope that this letter will allow you to forget little by little the trauma that you suffered by my fault.
couple things. Like when I saw these guys, they seemed to be all middle age. Like these weren't young punks who grow up on the wrong side of the Champs-Élysées. These were close.
Yeah.
Like me,
on the wrong side of the baguette.
The Champs, the baguette.
The Louvre.
The Louvre. They grew up on the wrong side of the Louvre. These were like 50-something-year-old dudes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seemed like all the pictures of surveillance cameras and stuff. So it makes you wonder, is this something they've been engaged in for 30 years?
Yeah,
or
was
this them deciding to make a move at 58
and a half? Having a midlife crisis?
Yes. I don't know.
Well, Kim's not buying it. She says she doesn't believe the sincerity and thinks he's trying to appear remorseful ahead of his trial.
Obviously. So now I love that he called it a gesture.
A gesture, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My
gesture.
I'm sorry my gesture came across wrong.
Yeah, maybe
gesture
she was
robbing you. I apologize.
Yeah. The gesture of robbing you?
Yeah, the gesture.
Yep. All right, let's here. Oh, here. Mm. So I'm curious, Nima, what you think of this. While more and more women are bringing in half or more of the earnings of the average American household, many people don't think this is such a good thing. This is according to Moneyish.com. A new survey has found that about a third of women and 71% of men think being able to financially support a family is very important for a man to be a good husband or partner. It seems men have to, quote, earn in order to get respect as a husband or partner.
If the respect in your household is based on your income, then you're doing everything wrong.
Everything he says is amazing.
I feel the same way.
Oh, my God.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, his wife makes twice as much as he does. But, yeah, I'm on that. I'm lose-lose. I do all the earning and then...
all the
and
respect?
You get no respect.
Well, it's funny. It was a couple of nights ago. We were all in the kitchen. Glenette kind of had her back to me and... Olga, the nanny, was in there, and Phil, the dog, was laying on the floor, and I was sort of sitting behind Lynette, and she was eating smoked salmon, which I enjoy, and at some point, she sort of said to, she did this motion to Olga, the nanny, my wife did, she went, I bet he'd enjoy some, and she kind of tilted her head back, and Olga, because she's from a land where they care, said, you think Adam would enjoy it? And she said, no, I'm talking about Phil, the dog.
Oh.
And I realized every conscious thought is about, and that's why part of the reason I married Lynette's because I had a horrible mom, and I wanted a mom.
She cares.
I wanted a mom who took care of the kids. So, I was sort of like, I'm self-sufficient, but I don't want my kids to grow up without a mom like I grew up without a mom. She's overdoing it a little bit.
We get it. You care.
I'm telling you, being one of her kids would be the greatest thing that ever happened.
We should all
to you.
Be so lucky.
And or her dog.
Her pets.
Yes.
Here,
all right.
Here's another lawn chair. Enjoy.
15-year anniversary today, by the way.
Awesome.
Congratulations. Yes. Going out to dinner and enjoying myself.
Who told you?
Yeah.
I kind of somebody tweeted me.
Facebook.
A couple weeks ago. But I circled it on the calendar. Let me tell you about Geico, man. Everybody's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. Slide on over. Fire up that computer. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Why would you go anywhere else? Save some money. You got to have insurance by law anyway, if you're in California especially, and probably nationally, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Geico.com, 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more. All right, what else you got, Gina Grant? Earning. Yeah. Look, here's what works the best. What works the best is... the traditional, the most boring, the one everyone makes fun of, the guy goes to work, the chick takes care of the kids, you get married, and then you have the kids. All the stuff that we're pushing up against in this country and we've decided is sort of, out of style, I guess.
It's the diet and exercise of the family structure. It's like you can do a lot of things, but the easiest answer...
Right. We've decided that this is not progressive enough for us. It feels so old, this thing of like mom, dad, marriage, kids, dad goes to work, mom makes lunch, all that kind of stuff. But and look, it works in a million different ways. Gay couples and adoption and both people working and everything under the sun. But what is most consistent and probably has the highest statistical chance of working is dad goes out, kills himself working, mama stays home, takes care of the kids. That's then doesn't offer him any smoke salmon.
Right. That's but make sure he hears it being offered
doesn't
to the dog.
Doesn't offer him smoke salmon. Fill the dog.
Well, maybe you can fill your heart with this instead of smoked salmon. Ford unveiled on Fox & Friends Thursday the new F-Series Super Duty Limited, which is their most luxurious and expensive truck to date. It starts at about $82,000 for the F-250 4x4.
Who's in the market for the luxury pickup truck?
They'll get into it. Hold on. Fully loaded F-450 4x4 Limited will run you about $96,000. All of the Super Duty Limiteds come loaded with a long list of standard features, includes a 360-degree camera system, adaptive cruise control, panoramic moonroof, unique two-tone camelback leather upholstery, microfiber suede headliner, and a 6.7-liter V8 diesel engine. Ford Super Duty marketing manager Brian Rathsberg said a typical target customer is someone who tows a $250,000 horse trailer with million-dollar horses on board or a six-figure boat and is looking for a truck to match.
There's certain indicators, like you've made
specific.
It indicators, which is, now I have a Ford Dually 350 that's I use to tow race cars, but, so it's a couple things. I've always said, if you do your garage up, like your garage is finished, you know, it's not like, it's drywall, but it's not painted, you can see where the seams are taped and all that. But you do your garage up, like do the floor, paint the floor, paint, finish it up, make it look really good. And or do like your closet, like anyone can have a nice living room or a nice kitchen. But if you want to blow people away, have your bedroom closet have like furniture and stuff in it. And that's where you go, that person's got their shit together. Like, that's their closet. That's their garage. When you can buy a Range Rover, a Land Rover or whatever, a Jag or a Jaguar or whatever you want. And look, it's a BMW 5 Series, 7 Series, Audi, whatever. You can spend $80,000, $85,000, $90,000 on a car quite easily these days. And then you can just pull up in a car that everyone, but if you spend $90,000 on a truck, you look like an insane winner for some reason, because it's the same thing of like, that's the same thing of the garage and the closet.
It's
like if that person's, that guy's truck is $90,000.
He's treating himself.
Imagine what his house is looking like. Like imagine, and he probably does have a sports car. Imagine what that is.
Yeah.
So there's, it's sort of a weird, it's a kind of, a reverse psychology or reverse counterintuitive, whatever, but pulling up in a super expensive truck doesn't mean you're like a hillbilly who squandered his money.
But my question to you, because I don't know anything about trucks, does that look like a $100,000 truck?
They have the like Lariat edition with all the leather interior and all the kind of stuff. But here's what everyone, if you're doing it, and it's the same thing I did. These things are diesels and they're trucks and they'll go on forever. And I bought a Dually Ford 350 that looked brand new, that was like 3 years old with like 37,000 miles on for like $26,000. Like just get a used one that stickered for $50,000 or $70,000 or $80,000. Just get one that's 3 years old. It's a big block diesel. It'll go forever. Yes. If you can, and they don't look any different much from year to year. Just buy one that's 2 years old. It's got 30,000 miles on it and you'll save $40,000. Right. Like just right off the top. Yep. But,
there's something about this.
There is something cool. And there is something about this country and trucks. And, you know, we're from LA, so we don't really experience, we don't have the relationship with trucks that the rest of the country has.
They're very utilitarian out here. A lot of Gardner trucks. And
the Gardner trucks, I mean, are some of the scariest, the scariest trucks on the planet.
Terrifying.
Not scarier than the ice cream truck in LA.
Oh, that's modified. I'm talking about things that are used as trucks. These are things that have been modified into refrigerators.
I'm telling you. Yes, we're talking about vans with the camper top on them where they store the bodies.
And the rectangle cutout for the children.
We have the weirdest relationship with regulations in LA, which is we're insanely overregulated for everything except for serving food to kids. kids. In which case, we let caution just fly to the wind. If you want to get yourself a shopping cart and put a propane tank on it and park it in front of any park and just go down to Costco and get some wieners and some bacon, serve it up, man. We don't care how long that mayonnaise has been out in the sun. And
is that even mayonnaise?
I have not. I've not even seen an official ice cream truck in 20 years in L.A. I see modified vans with illegals driving them, selling stuff they got from Korea. I don't. But it's never regularly. This
from
part
Korea.
Show the picture, Gary. Find me those my kids and an ice cream truck. They'll just park in front of the park
what
and just start serving it up.
And the music is always kind of off-key.
It's like
the
horror trailer.
Yes.
That
is
the
worst. Trailer. It's really depressing.
Yep. Yes, it's a horror. It's a horror movie trailer. Yep. Yeah. And those are my two kids about 4 or 5 years ago. If you pull up close on the van, you'll see A, it's for sale. B, it's rusting. It's literally coming apart.
It's for sale. Oh, my God.
Hey, ever want to make your way into the fast-paced world of selling illegal snacks to underage kids? It is the least roadworthy vehicle I've ever seen. It's rusting through. It's coming undone.
He'd very much like someone to take it off his hands.
And what I love about Los Angeles is I go, hey, I'd like to... put a second story in my house and make a master bedroom.
No.
We're not going to let you do that. But
I got this stack of papers you can start working on.
If I could buy a $600 van and sell ice cream to children, there's nothing the law can do about it. There's nothing that can't be touched. Where they have diplomatic plates? Like, they park an orange truck in front of a park.
Lethal weapon, too. Diplomatic immunity.
There's some of the scariest vehicles on the planet. Are those my kids again?
A different beatdown van.
Jesus. Yes. It's so weird.
That's super sad.
Right.
Get him away from that cooler.
We'll put the pictures up. All
and
right.
We have a third one.
I forgot. I was obsessed with taking pictures of horribly beat down vans. It's one of those
LA things.
Look
who was feeling peckish, Adam.
I had.
You got any dum-dums in there?
All right. Speaking of nutrition, how about tell you about Onnit, man? Onnit, man. Amazing supplements like Alpha Brain, Buffalo Meat Warrior Bars, MCT oil. Why not, man? It's the good stuff. Onnit CEO Aubrey Marcus did a Take a Knee, my motivational podcast. Talked about going from a college athlete to running a multi-million-dollar health brand. I'll let you listen to a little snippet of it.
You know, I had an experience. It was about the 10th time where ayahuasca took me down this path where it was like, you know what? Not only you're going to die, it's that you never mattered. It's like, you're nothing. You're the gum on nothing's shoe. You're water borrowed from the ocean and the ocean forgot. You're completely worthless. And so I had to surrender. Like, even in my death, I had some idea like, well, I lived well. I'll leave a legacy. Some people will remember me. I was like, nah, bitch, you're nothing.
They filmed the whole thing here in the studio. And if you want to watch and or listen to the entire podcast, just go check out the mini doc free at onnit.com/Adam. Onnit, onnit.com/Adam. I had the MCT oil this morning. The stuff is the best. Ask Dr. Drew about it. His wife's nuts, but he's sane, and he loves this MCT oil, man. Save 10% on your entire order. Just check out onnit.com. Two N's. onnit.com/Adam. All right, let's do one more, shall
we,
Gina Graham?
Well, a Reddit thread recently posed the question, what food do you hate that most people enjoy? And I have the top 10 responses.
Ooh.
If you'd like to guess.
Are drinks involved?
There are
flavors
no,
or are these food items?
There are no drinks. There might be a condiment or two, but the rest you'd consider food.
Can I tell you?
Are we guessing? Or are we giving
you're
our
welcome.
Own?
You want to guess?
First off, thoughts. Well, I had this happen to me yesterday, which is the someone at the other shop had bought a little packet of the salami and provolone cheese where everything's sort of pre-cut. Yeah. And I go, got a little shot of mustard and I sat down and I started eating it. And I started eating it and I love provolone cheese. And I just kind of remember thinking, and I was dipping it in mustard and eating with the salami. And at a certain point, I was like, I'm not enjoying this provolone cheese very much. And then I looked at the package and then big lettering, it said provolone, small lettering, it said processed. Mm. And then I realized, could we do something about this scourge known as processed cheese? And are you allowed to just write provolone? Because what I realize is processed cheese, there is no cheddar, there's no provolone, there's no Swiss, there's just bad processed cheese flavor. It was round and white and looked like provolone. My brain was on provolone and I had enough like deli mustard and other stuff that it took me a few bites, but eventually I was like, this isn't provolone cheese. It's fake cheese that you're calling, that you're putting a label of provolone on. Can we get the government involved with this when they're done with the ice cream trucks?
That'd be great.
And what is it with people and they're sort of like, I like it, all right? It's bad. It's horrible. Mm. It's all right. I'm angry. So I'm angry at fake cheese. I don't like that it was introduced, and I don't like that some people like the nacho stuff more than ever.
That's on my list.
Brian, you were writing things down.
I have a couple of ideas.
All right.
The processed cheese, American cheese specifically, Cheese Whiz, I don't understand.
Horrible.
You never been on a road trip as a child?
No.
Terrible.
I don't understand Miracle Whip.
I don't understand Miracle Whip. I don't understand that. I don't really understand. I feel the Oreo is highly overrated.
Agreed.
So overrated.
But no one dislikes. I could not agree.
So overrated.
I could never eat one again, not notice.
Thank you.
I only recently started to tolerate black olives. Black olives are a little too salty, a little too briny.
Yeah, I like the red lemonese. Yeah.
That's right.
That's with the pimento.
Probably not on the list. It's a little West Coasty, but green tea ice cream is like, after every Asian meal, green tea ice cream?
It's gritty.
Get it away from me. It's gross.
I also would like to tell almost every other culture, knock it off with the desserts. We got it covered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Save your green tea and your halva and whatever else you got. Piece of American apple pie and a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top. That'll do us just fine. Or whatever. But don't give me your version of your dessert because they always screw it up.
I can one-up both of you with the green tea and the halva. Have you ever had that Hawaiian shaved ice with literal red beans on top?
Oh, that's a delicacy out there.
It is vile. Yeah. It's shaved ice with, you know, flavor, whatever, with a big hot scoop of red beans.
No.
Yes.
No. Why?
I don't know.
It's a delicacy out
there. It's the worst. Well, you are close on a few.
If you like Twizzlers, you people listening, you are my enemy. And don't ever talk to me.
You're a Red Vine guy.
Red Vines.
But Twizzlers are awful.
Well, there's certain, you know, all that, to me, all the, like, sour patchy stuff, like, all the dessert candy that's just weird rainbowy and not chocolate or nougaty or nutty or whatever, that bothers me. But give it to us. I'm with Brian.
This is the top 10 list of foods that everybody else likes, but these people do not enjoy. Olives, eggplant. Which I love. Avocado.
Hold on a second.
No.
Get out.
I'm with you.
Not everyone loves eggplant. Eggplant has to get wedged between tons of cheese and meat and
who's
everything.
You
have to do eggplant parmesan.
Yeah, who's getting it as a sauce?
Just saute it. Eat it.
Nobody does. If you go to a restaurant and you want vegetable sides, they don't offer eggplant.
Yeah,
like, it's not on a menu.
If you like eggplant, there's a Lebanese food called mutabba.
I love it.
Do you know it?
Yes.
Really?
It's like a paste.
It's like a hummus, but it's
delicious.
It is delicious.
I want to bathe in it. I love
that. All right. So wait a minute. They said
so far
they don't like avocado, but everyone else does.
Yes.
Okay, they're wrong about that. Eggplant, nobody likes but you. We feel about eggplant the same way we feel about zucchini, which is sort of like, it's there. It's a binder.
It's tolerable.
You can make zucchini bread, but it's all a bunch of other stuff you like, and then zucchini kind of holds it together. It's the bungee cord of foods, of vegetables. It holds stuff down.
Olives, which are very divisive.
Well, the problem with olives is you have two choices with olives. You have
green.
I don't know that I'm eating one in the black department. Like, this is completely tasteless. It tastes like the water or something. And then there's, oh my God, my eyes are watering. This is too much.
Give me a knife and a fork.
They need to meet you in the middle with the olives. I understand the olives. I recommend they have the green ones from Trader Joe's and the big, fat, meaty ones that are fun to get into, especially if you're on the diet.
Are they stuffed with charcuterie?
I got one stuff with garlic. Yeah, one stuff with almonds. Oh yeah,
I want to like them so bad. Ooh. I lived in Greece and couldn't eat one.
When's the last time?
Really?
When's the last time I went to Lowry's, the restaurant out here, the prime rib, famous prime rib joint.
Uh, It's been about 3 weeks. Like, really? We were there recently.
Oh, yes. They give you, if you order a martini or a drink with olives, they'll offer you olives stuffed with
steak.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, cows, bad news. We're drinking you, too. Like, we used to just eat you. Our forefathers ate you. We drink
Will
you.
Will is injustice.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. We have something called beef motto.
Beef motto.
It's not just clam motto.
Oh, no.
All right. What else?
Going on raisins. Mm. Coleslaw, but if you combine the two, that's disgusting.
Coleslaw's wonderful.
Yeah, but have you ever had raisins in your coleslaw?
No.
That's a thing. Maybe it's a Midwestern thing.
No, they do. Okay, a couple things. Raisins either work or they annoy. Like, they're sort of like, what did we need this for here? You didn't have, like, it's good in raisin bran, but sometimes.
Good in the granola, bad in the.
Right.
In it's the not, challah.
Sometimes you want an oatmeal cookie and you don't want the raisin in there. Now. Coleslaw is awesome. You don't need to add anything to coleslaw. But a golden raisin is much better than a black raisin. And if they put the golden ones in the slaw every once in a while, that's pretty good.
For
people
salad.
Who want to treat themselves, go with the golden raisin.
Yeah, very agreed. Nice. Mayonnaise made the list, as did ketchup.
Ketchup.
And the top two that most people like.
Mayonnaise. It's a lubricator. It's not really. You don't need it for the flavor. You need it for the lubrication. Like when you have a turkey sandwich, you need the lubricant.
True.
It's the Astroglide of the food. I know it's been said many times with the zucchini being the bungee cord of the vegetable world, but it's the lube.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Until I went to college, I'd never tried.
It's a turkey sandwich. I don't like the taste of mayonnaise.
I like the cheese.
Per se. Yeah, I don't like dipping stuff in mayonnaise, but a turkey sandwich needs mayonnaise.
You can't swallow a dry turkey sandwich.
I just like to say things to move along. That makes sense. Anyway.
Moving on.
I never tried
butter.
It's
like when a crazy guy starts complaining to you about the government, you go, there you go, and you keep walking.
Yep. I never tried butter, mayonnaise, or Coca-Cola until I went to college.
Because you guys did like Miracle
Whip
or
Dijonnaise
or something. Mama Grad is all about Snack Wells and Diet Right and Miracle Whip. So I never had it. Mm. It's very sad and I'm fine with it now. Top two, tomatoes.
Yeah. There's a real texture thing with the middle of tomatoes.
Squirty
with a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah. Gooey.
And
well,
then
beef steak tomatoes are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the now you have me. I got this argument with my in my kitchen with my wife and my nanny about 2 weeks ago, which is you've got me if you say cherry tomatoes, because cherry tomatoes is just sort of a pus bomb with a weird sort of sour, sort of chewy skin on it. But if you go Roma tomato, I'm not down with that. I love Roma tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
And I love beefsteak tomatoes. And I love the fact that somebody said, instead of these goddamn cherry tomatoes, why don't we just shrink the Roma tomato
and we'll
do that one. And those are fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Number one, eggs.
Oh, they don't like eggs?
They do not like eggs.
I know people have a weird relationship with eggs.
For me, it's eggs with ketchup.
But that's a minority.
You do eggs and ketchup?
No, I hate that.
Yeah, I hate it, too.
Squirt it over the top.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Also, my feeling with the folks who do the eggs and the ketchup, and I don't associate with any of you people, so it's not a big problem, but it was a problem in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's repugnant.
It is.
Don't do it in front of me.
It is.
Ooh.
And especially don't mix it up.
No.
I hate the mixer-upper guy. Look, if you want to put a little dab of Heinz 57 to the right and you want to just
kind of ignore
have
it
sweep by it a little, I can look the other way. But if you're just going to pile it on top and then start the mixing process, I'm going to get angry.
Close cousin, yet 180 degrees the other way in terms of good, salsa. Salsa on eggs.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Salsa's great.
Yeah. It's close cousin to ketchup.
Oh, yeah,
but
definitely.
Way
brings out
better.
The flavor.
Even Cholula, Tapatia.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Salsa's one of my top sniffing. Has this gone bad? Sniffs. Like, 4 days old. That's not bad. Is that
tomatoes
bad?
Go bad?
And is it bad? Does it smell bad? I think this is good. I can never can tell if salsa's gone. Salsa needs
to. It gets watery and wilty.
Ooh, we need
sour.
Like. Oh, yeah, I know, but there's a point when it's turning where it's begun the process.
Like Gina said, a little sour.
It's like in the movie where the guy turns into a werewolf, but you just see his fingernails start growing at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Michael J. Fox.
He's not quite there yet, but
you haven't seen the spine start poking out or the teeth. It starts with like the fingernails. Mm-hmm. I'll get salsa in just the fingernail phase, you know, and I'll be like, I love it with the eggs. I know it's starting to turn into a werewolf, but I want it, and it hasn't turned yet, you know, but it's starting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Carolla's fingernail salsa coming soon.
So disgusting.
Oh, hold on. There's got to be a sniffer app. Somebody invent a sniffer app. I was sitting around. I was in my kitchen. I spent a lot of time in the kitchen.
Chris?
I had a guy, Rob, at the other shop. He went with Maxipata. He caught a tuna, right? You guys went tuna fishing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like 2 weekends ago, right?
Yeah, we caught a bonita.
He said you wanted the head.
I took the head, yeah. Wow.
You're an animal.
It's a mount on your mantle?
No, there's nothing to do with the collar.
No, he wants to eat. No wonder no one respects you.
I am going
to
eat it.
He wanted the head. Everyone cuts the head off and throws it to the seals, you know, but he wanted... Do you have to stop yourself from just biting into it when you're standing on the boat?
I was going at it. Like they slice off just a piece of raw fish just to just show me how fresh it was. And I almost just took the whole thing. I just want to grab it. It's so good. It was so it melted in your mouth. It was like butter.
Rob caught like a 25-pound tuna, right?
Yeah.
Fish brains.
So he caught a tuna and then he gave me a piece of tuna.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, You wrap it and you put it in a paper towel to get it home or something, and then you put it in a new paper towel or whatever it is.
You freeze it and then you wrap another paper towel because I think it soaks up the blood.
Oh, right. God. So I had the fresh tuna and it was in my fridge, and you know I hate throwing away food, but I really hate throwing away food that like the employees caught. I just feel like it's such a weird cosmic waste to like kill something and then just have it go bad throw it in the garbage disposal or whatever. And also, I like reporting back to people like, hey, I cooked up your tuna, you know? So he gave it to me on like a Friday, and then I went out of town to Chicago and did a gig, and then I came back on Monday, and before you know it, the tuna had been killed on the boat like a week ago, and now it's sitting in my fridge, and I want to eat it. But it's been a while.
Do it. Do it.
Do it.
So I'm sitting there with Olga the nanny in the kitchen, and I'm explaining, I think you should cook this thing up, but we're both sniffing it.
Yeah.
And she's sniffing it. Everyone, hey, when you sniff something, you can't make a face. You need to go dry with your face because it influences the person that also wants to, who hasn't sniffed it yet.
Okay. Fresh sniff.
It's like, you know, the people who think you're going to settle bets where they go, you don't like the New England Patriots, do you, Dan? And it's like, that's not how you ask the question. I said he was a fan. You said he wasn't a fan. You have to ask him, what do you think of the New England Patriots? You can't go, you don't like those crappy Patriots, do you, Dan?
You're not an idiot who likes those Patriots.
You're not one of those dumb people like that. You can't word it that way. I need a neutral face when you sniff it, because my nanny will give the sniff and go, oh, like she'll make a face, and then I'll go like,
let me get in there,
but I'm not neutral anymore. I am You're preloaded. Swayed. I'm swayed. The jury's been polluted. So
bad fish.
She gives it the sniff, and she's like, she makes the face, like, ooh. And I go, give me a shot at it. I give the sniff, I'm like, and then I said, well, cook it up. It's no good. We give it to the dog. And she went, no, you can't give it to the dog. I said, why not? Give it to Phil. He'll eat it. He's a dog. So she cooked it up, and I ate it. But
and you're here to tell the tale.
But if I had an app, I want a sniffer app, because I get into this all the time with her in my fridge, because she hates throwing things away. I hate throwing things away. We have so much junk Chinese food and everything. The kids buy a bunch of crap. Mm-hmm. Everything comes home. It sits in the tart stuff gets shuffled around. Mm-hmm. It's like, how long has the pork fried rice been in there? I don't know when it. If I had a sniffer app, there needs to be a sniffer app.
Just work detects that fumes.
Out. Just something. Or just a device that can tell. There's got to be an enzyme or something that is given off. Like, there's a reason.
That smell is there for a reason.
Yes, there's a reason a rotting corpse smells, scientifically. You know what I mean? A rotting flesh or whatever. When something starts the turning process.
Hobo power app.
Oh, it exists. Food sniffer app, it says. Let's see. What are the reviews like?
What on earth?
How's it work?
How much it cost?
Yeah.
You know more.
They have
quality and freshness of pork, beef, chicken, and fish.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Are people getting it? How many user reviews does it have?
I'd like
zoom
to
out
know.
There a little bit. I'd like to see the star rating. I see the cost.
Yeah. There's a picture of a happy cow and a happy chicken, you know, it's like good. And a happy octopus.
No one's lived to review the app.
No reviews?
No one survived to actually get any stars.
By the way, there's a
one star online.
You know, you want to start moving some units, there's an application that can be used in the bedroom as well. Yes, thank you very much.
Freshness app?
That's right. All right. No reviews on the Sniffer app.
Like I said, no one lived to tell the tale.
What's it say it does?
All their beta testers are dead.
The first portable electronic nose, a unique and innovative device and mobile application which enables users to determine the quality and freshness of pork, beef, chicken, and fish.
August, book this guy who invented this app on the show.
Yes, let's get him on.
We have questions.
I have many questions.
Like, why are there no reviews?
Yeah. But I'd like to get it would be no good for me. I don't know how to use my phone, but I feel like I could get my kids on that.
Yeah.
Or at least Olga.
Let's get them signed up. Let's get Olga signed up for that. She needs a Sniffer app. I will tell you about the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department Motorsports first annual car show. Whoa. Oh, finally, a car show. I love it, man. This Saturday, come on out to Cerritos Sheriff Station. Los Angeles Sheriff's Department is raising money for kids pursuing careers in automotive technologies. This is what I like.
You can get behind this.
I can totally get behind this. I can bump draft this. I can get so behind it. Fun for the entire family. Beautiful cars, vendors, prizes, food, entertainment. Come see the super cool 60s era Barracuda modified as the Sheriff's Department vehicle. Also trophy trucks. Those are the ones that run like in stadiums and Baja 500 and Mint 400 and all the desert stuff like that. Sports bikes along with dozens of great vehicles. Bring the family and you know what? Get them used to and friendly with the cops. Mm-hmm. It's a good...
get some merch.
Get some merch and get the kids used to not being freaked out by the popo. So, for all the details, you can go to LASDmotorsports.com and listen to the Sheriff's Podcast at KMA 628 on the Podcast One Network. Hear more about this great event. Get out and support now more than ever. Come on now. All right. Let's see. Friday, October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall. That'll be me, one-man show. And then the next day, Nashville, Polk Theater. That'll be me again doing the one-man show. Irvine coming up this Thursday. We'll be on stage with Jay Moore at the Irvine Improv. Always a great time doing the live podcast. Go to amcroll.com if you want to find out all about the live podcast and where we're going to be. If you want to see Nimmer's special, very funny, by the way, No Bombing in Beirut, premieres on Showtime next Saturday. That's October 7th, 11 p.m. And the website, even though it's pronounced Nimmer, it's NEMRComedy.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find out when he's going to be playing and where he's going to be playing.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. This has been fun. Until next time.
Thank you so much.
It's Adam for Nimmer and Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Too much honey will mess up your tummy.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail. The phone number is 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the archive link at adamcarolla.com. You got about a month left to catch Gina Grad on the radio mornings at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. And pick up your tickets for the Ace Man. It's not Taco Bell material. Solo one-man show. Again, Minneapolis, October 13th. Nashville, October 14th. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in One offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save